Fallout Equestria, Project Horizons by Somber, Chapter 54. Fado, my fortune-telling has nothing to do with my pinky sense. It's only good for vague and immediate events. Like that, see? Where did that even come from? So, Glory asked from the kitchen, as she carefully stowed every bit of food we had left in two bags, is he safe? There was no question who he was. Rampage looked up from where she sat, as a surly teenager adjusting the straps on her power hooves. Safe. Dias doesn't do safe. He does more harm and less harm. Safe isn't applicable to him. She then started to put on the metal armor, which was still a size or so too large. I suppose having a size-changing body would be extremely annoying. She seemed to have a system of belts and straps to keep it all in place. We were rested and getting ready to move out with the sunset. All that was needed was to make sure everything was stored up. Rampage had drawn a crude map showing how to get to Grimhorn, a route essentially heading back south to flank, then continuing east till the road crossed the Hoofington River, above the reservoir. If all went according to plan, the Harbingers would see us go and not bother Chapel any longer. P-21 looked at the magazines of bullets he was carefully inventorying and preparing in advance. Well, he's less harm to us unless he wants to commit suicide. I found 5 explosive devices wired up inside him. One of them was set to go off in less than an hour. Whoever put him in that thing had been pretty methodical about it. First charge would have disabled the case holding his brain and severed his connection to the tank. The second would have scrapped the life support, then the repair talisman, and finally the engine itself. Scotch tape carefully stacked up her own supplies. Tools, duct tape, wonder glue, scrap metal, plungers, wire, some arcane electronic scrap, and capacitors were all arranged around her in a fan. How would the Zebras even shrink down a reactor small enough to fit on a tank? I can't figure that one out, the filly said, then passed a roll of tape to Boo, who caught it in her mouth and then set it into the bag. How would Scotch teach her that trick? Better question is, where did the Harbingers get a tank in the first place? Twister asked, as the Navarro Pegasus checked her power armor. Next to her, Sunset was loading her beam rifles with new cartridges. All our recon said, the surface shouldn't have anything even close to that kind of firepower. She gave Glory another of those long, indecisive looks, like she was trying to come to a decision. Maybe it was captured. Maybe they have a working facility making repairs somewhere underground, Glory hypothesized with a shrug. She held up a cyber pony cake to me. Want one, before I pack them all away? Oh, if you insist, I chuckled. She tossed it to me, and I caught it with my magic. Lacune was outside, keeping an eye out for the Harbingers. No sign of them yet, but they were reforming and rearming. We had to get out of here before they made a second attack on me while I was still here. And if they tried to use Chapel as a hostage against me again, well, I think at that point I was entitled to go a yellow river on the Harbingers. Besides, given the defenses Chapel was building up, there'd be the chance of an embarrassing defeat by a bunch of fools. Those are going to make you fat, Blackjack, Scotch Tape opined with a snicker. I'm still getting things repaired. I'm a growing mare, I said, taking a bite. I chewed happily for a moment, then sighed. The real question I have is why he's coming with us in the first place. I don't think a radio-controlled bomb would stop Dias from killing some pony if he really wanted to. Rampage snickered, and I looked at her. Rampages, follow Blackjack because she beat you. Theory aside, there has to be a reason. Do you know him longest, Rampage? Can you think of any other reason? Dias wasn't exactly the most social war machine, Rampage pointed out. No pony besides Big Daddy and Brutus ever fought him hoof to hoof. Even Psycho Shine ever tried to take him on. Gorgon was the closest thing to a friend he had, and he was a mute monster pony. The young mare then stopped and frowned. What? I asked, as I checked the wear on vigilance. Some parts from some 12mm pistols had done it good, and I'd tried, mostly in vain, to polish it to its original sheen. An assault carbine would have to do for longer ranges. I'd all but given up on keeping a riot shotgun intact. Well, it's stupid, Rampage said with a flush. It's just that, well, I think he was scared of me. Don't get me wrong, I know I'm one scary pony, but you remember this. There wasn't a mare he wouldn't try, and fuck, if she looked at him wrong. After what Brass and Hightower had done to him, I could understand it. Forgive, no, but I could understand. He barely said two words to me in 2 years. But given how Rampage resembled Twist with her coat and her mane, it wasn't hard to imagine why. I wish I could just ask him, I grunted in annoyance. There are wires that connect him to a speaker, but he doesn't talk, P21 said with a shrug, as he packed his things away in his bag. It never ceased to amaze me how he could hide entire grenades in his brushy mane and tail. Maybe it was kicking the medics, but he looked pretty good. Then again, he'd always looked good, not flyer good, but still, he might be suffering from severe aphasia, Glory said, as she tucked the last of the food away and trotted to her battle saddle, deftly slipping on the Gatling beam gun's harness. When she saw my sardonic expression of cluelessness, she elaborated, it's a speech impairment due to brain damage. Yes and no may be all he's capable of expressing. Or he's keeping silent, P21 suggested, as he shrugged into a bandolier of 40mm grenades for persuasion. He glanced around, looking a little agitated, and checked the grenade launcher for the third time. Rampage snickered. Oh, come on. Dias couldn't go 5 minutes without a cunt. P21 looked at her coolly, and the striped mare blinked. What? I'd appreciate it if you didn't use language like that around my daughter, he said primly. I shared a look with Glory and suppressed a laugh. Oh, really? What should I use? Rampage asked with a grin. Sugar butt. Vagina would be the most accurate, Glory offered. Hoo-ha, Twister suggested. Vertical smile. Sunset said with a grin. I usually just call it miter button, Scotch said as she rubbed her chin thoughtfully, then looked at me, cause it makes me hum. It seemed perfectly reasonable to me, but P21's mane seemed to twang a little like snapped wires. What? She asked, and the poor blue stallion looked so flustered that I decided not to chime in with my own personal nickname. Okay. That's enough talk of that, he said with a nervous grin, waving his hoofs as if trying to wave away the topic. Oh, come on. Surely you have some little nicknames for your own equipment. Rampage teased, then shook her head as she looked back at Scotch, then at Glory. Aren't the sociosexual mores of stable ponies fascinating? She flushed a little, but then replied primly, don't ask me. I spent my grade school being encouraged to prefer fillies. Boys for boys. Mares love. All kinds of slogans and stuff to keep us apart when we went into our fertile cycles. Ramage laughed, and grinned at Scotch tape. Oh, yeah. Wait till you start your cycle. Best and worst time of the year for mares. Then you'll call it your, I dunno, reactor, or something. Rampage snickered, then sniffed the air. Smells like one of us is due right now. Knowing our luck, we'll all kick and two cycle at the same time. That's always fun. I glanced at Glory blushing furiously, and giving a little squirm. Rampage turned, and grinned at P21, what do you think? P21 sat there, eyelid twitching before he jammed his hat on his head, as his cheeks flared. He turned, and marched out, shoving Boomer aside, as he muttered darkly. The brown stallion blinked, as he looked back over his shoulder. What's his problem? Propriety met reproduction on the battlefield, and was promptly bent over and rutted, Rampage replied. She caught my glare and recoiled, then sighed, and rolled her eyes. Fine. I'll apologize to his grumpiness. Power hooves clicking, she trotted out after him. Boomer took several deep breaths. Oh, yeah. Thought something smelled good. He gave a crooked grin. If any of you'll need that itch scratched, well, I'd be happy to help out. There's a reason the ladies call me Boomer, after all. I chuckled, remembering how close I'd come to gelding him. What a waste that would have been, just because a mare's fertile doesn't mean she becomes a sex fiend, Boomer. You'll know that, Twister said. I reckon not. Jetta, sex fiend, takes a few drinks. The brown buck grinned, and the mare flushed a little. Y'all better get back out there and keep an eye out for any hostiles, for I remove the head yer thinking, with. Twister snapped. Sure. Might need to, adjust my armor, though, he said with a laugh, before he went back out. Flyers, stallions, Twister muttered, then saw Sunset looked at her curiously, and the russet mare flushed. It's not me. I'm at least 2 weeks from cycling. Is it that bad? Scotch Ape asked with a little frown. I gave a little shrug. You'll start looking at stallions more, and the idea will be on your mind a lot for a week, or so. Just make sure you stay around other mares, and we'll stop you from doing something with some moron just because he's got a nice body. Make sure you never point your hind end at a stallion, if you can help it. Really gives them the idea, if they get a good whiff. Give yourself a good rubbing once or twice a day, till the itch passes. You've got your implant, right? The filly nodded. Then you've got nothing to worry about if you do mess it up. It's a more annoying time than anything. Scotch Ape looked relieved as she finished passing things to Boo. The last of the supplies were packed away. I kept looking at Glory, and as she completed her own packing I trotted up to her. So, is it you? I asked, giving her a little nudge. No. She said, as she blushed furiously, then pressed her lips together. Maybe, finally she slumped. Probably. She sighed, and rolled her eyes, ugh, stupid biology. It's not like I'm attracted to him in any way, shape or form. It's just a dumb little thought that I just can't quite put out of my mind. It's not fair I've got a piece of anatomy nagging me to be a mommy. This is the worst time possible for me to have a kid. I gave her a little nuzzle. It's not a bad thing to think of down here. Just roll with it. She huffed at me, but finally gave in with a roll of her eyes. That a girl? Well, he is pretty nice, Glory said with a little smile. That's the spirit. Bisexuality, double your options, double your fun. And Boomer was certainly nice to look at. Now you're thinking like Blackjack, I said with a grin. Maybe if she broadened her horizons a bit, I could go along for the ride with her. I think you'd make a great mom, Glory. I winced inwardly, hoping that she didn't take it the wrong way. But she didn't. Maybe someday, if things were normal and not so crazy, maybe. But it's probably just the hormones talking, she said, then looked towards the door with a wistful sort of smile. It wouldn't hurt you to experiment, I said with a nudge. I supposed I could terrify the brown stallion into behaving himself. Maybe, she said again with another little sigh. It might be okay with him. I doubt he'd hurt me. Her wings pomfed out a little bit as she smiled, then trotted for the door along with every pony else. There's just something about earth ponies, she murmured softly before closing the door behind her. I stopped in my tracks and blinked in shock at the closed door. Wait. What? There weren't any cheers as we climbed onto dais, but everyone in chapel watched us go with an unfamiliar look in their eyes. Maybe it was the sight of the black and white striped tank with Megadeus hoof painted by Scotch and Rampage in red across the front, or perhaps it was the three Pegasian ominous black enclave power armor flying overhead along with a purple alicorn, but every pony, ghoul, and zebra watched us go with an odd expression I hadn't ever really seen before. Not fear. Not joy. As the Estreds rumbled along the road through the village, I looked out at all the faces gazing on, and gave the smallest smile and little wave back. I must have looked ridiculous, my reinforcements made wearing normal barding impractical, so some of Sky Striker's plates had been duct taped, and wonder glued to my augmented limbs to cover the gaps. Still, I saw something akin to open awe in Sekashi and Magina, as we rolled by their cottage. Our peacock, the ghoul maid, gave a bow, and spread her dusty wings in a curtsy. Charity looked on, her normally calculating eyes watching me now with something more honest and sincere. Why are they looking at us like that? I asked, as I flushed. Rampage looked at me. Are you serious, Blackjack? You don't know. I frowned at her. Me not knowing is nothing new. They keep staring at us, not at us, Blackjack. Not even at these, Rampage replied. You. They're staring at you. Now I was blushing everywhere that wasn't metal. Me? Why me? What did I do? Glory sighed, smiled, and shook her head. P21 leveled a sardonic look at me. Even Scotch Ape seemed to get it. Rampage's grin lost some of its edge as we rolled out of the village, and she just looked at me with admiration and pity. You gave them hope, Blackjack. The last time I traveled between Flank and Chapel, I'd been running like a maniac to try and save Chapel from Sanguine. This time, I was a passenger on a war machine, with three power-armored Bagazzi providing escort. As the evening gloom deepened, I started wishing that the Harbingers would attack. I scanned all around for some red bar which could alleviate this tedium, but there wasn't anything that could provide a distraction. Not even a rat roach or bloat sprite dared to challenge our passage. You're pouting, Blackjack, P21 said, as he stared out at the gloom. I am not, I replied, pouting, as I glared at the darkness. Think they're out there. The Harbingers. He shrugged, checking his grenade launcher. I'm certain of it. They're watching us. Thinking of ways to separate us from these, you from the rest of us. Maybe a lucky shot from those big guns of Steel Rains, though they can't risk destroying EC-1101. Maybe when you go to that plantation. Dawn threw away her family and her life. She hasn't quit. Quitting leaves her with nothing. I sighed, looked out into the growing gloom, then glanced over at Glory speaking in low tones with Rampage. She met my look with a momentary one of apprehension, then a forced little smile. When I didn't return it, her expression turned concerned for a moment. Finally, I managed a small half-smile. Only then did she finally give me a sincere smile. She might have looked like Rainbow Dash, even had her athleticism, but she was still not far removed from the timid mare I'd discovered beneath that terminal. She didn't love me, and maybe I didn't love her. Life was a tempest, and she clung to me as the one and only constant in her life. The color she'd put on me was a hollow symbol. Ali. But sometimes a lie was something to live for. Someday she'd find someone she did love. Someone who didn't hurt her all the time. Someone better. We might be together for days, months, or even years, but eventually I'd do something to drive her AWA, then P21 smacked the back of my head. Ow? What did you do that for? I whined. You're getting that look again, P21 said with a smirk, as he dug his hat lower on his face. What look? I asked, as I rubbed the spot where he'd hit me. He shook his head. That look, like you're trying to think and arriving at all the wrong conclusions. Relax, Blackjack. I'm sure that we'll be attacked sooner or later. Don't stress yourself till then. I huffed, and then groaned. I can't help it. I get all wiggly when there's nothing going on. My metal legs kicked the air before I huffed and laid limply. I hate being bored. He glanced at me and chuckled. Don't you have a memory orb, or something you can go into? He asked with a small roll of his eyes. I don't want to be all memory orbed if the Harbingers attack, I said with a sigh, as we rolled along. Then sleep, he said with a shrug. Or whine more quietly, he added, then spat a grenade into the breech of his weapon, and clacked it closed. I looked at him skeptically, but then sighed, and closed my eyes. Really, how could anyone take a nap on a tank? This doesn't look good, Jetstream muttered, looking about at the rocky valley as the marauders stepped out of the sky wagon. The open area was a mile across to miles long, and filled with gray boulders and scrubby yellow grass. In the middle were a number of black and white striped figures underneath a white open tent. They could hide a whole legion in those rocks, and we wouldn't know it till the firing started. 2 dozen soldier ponies. A dozen Bagazzi, and a half dozen red-striped zebras moved out from two other sky wagons. Ayup, Big Macintosh said stoically, as he chewed on his grass stem. The rest of the marauders slowly fanned out. Dark thunderclouds overhead boomed and threatened rain. Orders? He asked, as he looked back at Vanity, with a small smile. The emerald-maned unicorn gave a sheepish curl of his lips in return. It was clear that while Vanity might have the officer's crest, Big Macintosh was in charge. Secure the meeting area. The command post will be here at the Skywagons. The 3rd Battalion should be deployed somewhere southeast of us, preventing any large numbers of enemies from moving in. Our real concern is assassination. You really think they'd kill Celestia? Twist asked with a scowl. Yes, I said softly. There's real concern that this is a trap. That drew some surprised looks, but I flushed and looked away. Big Macintosh nodded. I'll be in the center with the princess. He gestured towards the skies with his hoof. Jet stream above with the flyers. Twist, move into those rocks with the predators. Doof, take that high point in case we need suppressive fire pulling back to the wagons. Applesnack, take a dozen and set up a line to the north. Captain'll take the other squad to the south. He paused, then looked at me. Pick your spot for a field of fire. He looked at Vanity for confirmation. That sounds good, Sergeant. Carry on, the unicorn said, then turned to Echo. Get in touch with the 3rd as soon as you can. 4 squads aren't going to be nearly enough if this goes bad. I know Celestia ordered no troops, but there are just too many ways this can go wrong. The white unicorn glanced at me for a long moment. Make sure you've got a dedicated channel between Sam and Big Macintosh. If there's trouble, she'll be the first to spot it. Every pony move out. I turned and walked to the sky wagon for my gear. I was carefully assembling my precision weapon when a stallion said behind me, "Hey there, Bicom." Long time no, I turned, levitating the sniper rifle, as I regarded the orange unicorn carrying saddlebags bulging with scrolls and papers. His yellow eyes focused on the rifle floating beside me, and he finished lamely, "See? Cheddar." I murmured. What are you doing here?" The orange stallion snorted. "We haven't seen each other for years, and that's all you can say?" he asked, his eyes moving once more over to the gun. "You've changed." "We've all changed." "I'm fighting for Luna now," I said quietly, as I tried to hide the rifle behind my back, a futile gesture given that it was longer than my body. "What are you doing here?" "I'm here with Celestia's peace envoys. The princess believes that my talent with languages will be useful. There are over 20 different dialects spoken in the Zebra Empire, and," he swallowed, his smile growing more tense. "That's a really big gun," he murmured. I sighed and stopped my pointless efforts at concealment. "This is penance," I said, as I levitated it before us. "Magically augmented and designed by the MWT and MAS for unicorn snipers. It's a prototype hand. Given all the fuss it requires, probably won't be put in production soon. It fires a variety of 50 caliber ammunition ranging from explosive anti-personnel rounds to armor-piercing bullets." I removed the magazine, showing the jet-black bullets within. "These are dragon killer rounds, in the event of a dragon attacking. A friend provided them for me," said Scar's friend was exchanging terse words with Big Macintosh and Vanity at the moment. Though he met my gaze, Golden Blood only frowned. He looked mad. No, not mad. Fearful. Cheddar stammered at me in horror. "What, how, why in Equestria would you bring something like that to a peace meeting?" "It seemed prudent." I swallowed as I looked away from my teacher and turned back to my childhood friend. "Don't you understand what will happen if Celestia is captured? The Zebras could use that to force a surrender. Or they could kill her. After all, they wanted Luna to be here rather than Celestia." Cheddar pressed back, and we asked for the Caesar to come. Instead, he sent a tribal elder to negotiate for him. "A tribal elder?" one of the Proditor asked, as she looked over with a frown. It took me a minute to recognize a younger Shujab. "It is Briar Thorn, yes?" Cheddar looked away a moment, then nodded. The Zebra mare looked contemplative. "I see. Elder Thorn is only a few years, Elder, to I. She is of the Mendi tribe, who have always objected to the war, much like Ministry Mayor Fluttershy. Mendi is as respected as the Ministry of Peace. If it was Elder Earthquaker, of the Atchu, or Elder Longsight, of the Propoli, however, it would be far more promising." "We have to start somewhere," he said plaintively, but the Proditor was clearly skeptical. He sighed and covered his face with a hoof as Shujak continued after Twist. "This is exactly what Celestia was afraid of. You people don't understand. These security arrangements are going to unravel everything before we can even have a chance to talk. He looked at me, practically begging me to agree. Don't you understand? If we don't show them at least a gesture of trust, we'll never have a chance. A few years ago, I would have agreed with him. I would have taken the risk if it would mean an end to the fighting. But I'd heard the atrocity of Little Horn. So many students I'd known, if the zebras were capable of that, then they were capable of anything. Trust them with something less precious than the princesses. Send Rainbow Dash. She can at least fight if they try anything. Listen to you. He stammered. Try anything. What happened to the filly I helped wash the floors with? She killed people. Lots of people. And if I just served Luna loyally and faithfully, everything would be fine. It wouldn't be for nothing. You can't understand. His eyes hardened. No. I guess I can't. Try not to let the zebras see you with that thing, Sam. Contrary to what most ponies think, zebras revere their elders as much as we do the princesses. Even if they're not from a fighting tribe. He turned on a hoof and trotted away. I knelt, cradling my gun. Everything would be all right in the end. I serve Luna, and she'd forgive me. She'd absolve all my sins. Make all the zebras I'd killed worthwhile. Please, Luna. Please, I prayed silently. We'll need the marauders more than simple prayers, Golden Blood rasped wetly, as he trotted up. Big Macintosh will be present at the pavilion. We can only hope that things get mired in bickering. He rubbed his face nervously. I can't imagine what Celestia is thinking. This is precisely why ambassadors were invented. The scarred and emaciated stallion looked even more frazzled than usual. Do you really think they're going to try to kill Celestia? If they think she's Luna, yes, he said, as he paced a little back and forth. Everything is a mess in the back channels. I don't know if they think it's going to be Celestia or Luna. I've told them it's not Luna, but they'll question it. For all I know, they might think it's more likely after I warned them. Maybe it's sincere, I offered, mostly as a token to my childhood friend. Maybe they want peace. He snorted skeptically and shrugged, as if peace was inconsequential. Perhaps. I'm more concerned about Celestia forcing this and negotiating personally. He ran a hoof along his golden mane as he stared at nothing. Maybe she's trying to atone for starting the war. This is some elaborate form of suicide. No, unlikely. But perhaps she wants to be captured. Maybe she sees this as a way to force a conclusion to the war. He rubbed his cheeks. Or maybe she plans to defect. She's never approved of the ministries or the expansion of the war effort. Always trying to nudge her way back towards power. He looked on the verge of a nervous breakdown as he stared with his bloodshot eyes into empty space. Have you talked to Celestia about it? I asked, guardedly. He gave a hollow little laugh before breaking into wet coughs. When he finished, he gave me a wan grin. I'm not high on Celestia's friends list at the moment, or ever again. He rubbed his face. We can't let them take her. It will mean the end of Luna as ruler. Celestia is still frightfully popular. Don't worry, teacher. I said, as I put my hoof on his shoulder. I won't. No matter what. He gave a sad little smile. I hardly think it's fair to call me that. I've never taught you much worthwhile. Rocks and gems and medals, hardly the education you deserve. You taught me about devotion and conviction, I said with a sincere smile. Don't worry, teacher. I won't let them take her. He sighed and nodded. I'll need to go to the radio wagon. Listen to the back channels and see if there's any hint of what they're planning. I've never heard things so chaotic in the Empire since Luna took the throne. There's no telling what the Caesar is planning. Or the elders. Or the legates, he gave a wan smile. Equestria isn't the only place with shadowy politics. The zebra invented the damned game. His smile disappeared and he turned, trotting quickly to the radio wagon. I kept the gun floating at my side as I moved towards an ideal firing position, a rocky outcrop 500 yards from the tents. It'd give me a field of fire overlooking the tents and beyond. I climbed up on the rocks and took a position where I could look between the stones. Most snipers worked in pairs of shooters and spotters, but few unicorns had the talent to levitate a rifle and aim it steadily for hours without straining their eyes or their horn. I unraveled my cloak and spread it over myself and my gun. The magic couldn't match zebra invisibility, but it did manage to blend in with the surrounding rock enough to make me appear to be just another stone. One quick radio check with the sergeant, and I was set. It was an hour later that the winged chariot arrived. In that time, I'd used my magic scope to pick out 36 zebras ranging from sniper pairs to hoof specialists. Each location was relayed to Echo, who'd pass the information on to the rest of the marauders. Then brass horns sounded, heralding the arrival of the princess on her golden chariot. From the other side of the valley thundered ram's horns, and a young adult scarlet dragon flew over the mountains, landing and depositing a trio of zebras. The dragon then pumped his wings and took off once more as both peace groups trotted to the tents. I tracked the dragon till it disappeared back behind the horizon. Maybe this would be okay. From over the radio connection with Big Macintosh, I heard the envoys greet each other with chatter providing translations. Sweeping my scope over the valley, I watched as the elder zebra greeted the princess with clear surprise. Shuja had been right. The elder wasn't much older than myself. Still, from the security arrangements, they seemed to value the bead-bedecked zebra mare as more than just a throwaway. Over the radio, I could hear Cheddar talking back and forth. To hear Briarthorn speak, the war was becoming ever more burdensome to the Empire. More and more was being asked of the tribes to fight the Maiden of the Stars. Soon it came to the sticking point. Luna's rule was a non-starter. So long as she remained in power, the Caesar could not entertain the topic of peace. I watched Celestia through my scope, the magical lens peering through the tent at her. I saw the pain and indecision clearly etched on her regal face. I imagined it to be exactly how she'd looked after Littlehorn. I should have been watching the others. I spotted only a tiny bit of movement in the back of the delegation, and a flash of green. From inside the tent came a pop, and suddenly a brilliant green cloud blowed up and filled the space. Everyone began shouting, screaming, and coughing as they struggled and milled about. The tent collapsed, and then, with a flare of magic, Celestia ripped the canvas and let the billowing smoke roll out. She swayed and collapsed as Big Macintosh staggered over her prone form. "Cupcake! Code Cupcake!" I shouted over the radio to Echo. "The princess is down. Code Cupcake." I immediately started looking for targets in the delegation. Then things went from cupcake to road apples. The ground beside the tent collapsed, and instantly zebras began swarming out of the hole. Many of them sported strange wings and took to the air as soon as they were above ground. I heard the orders coming fast and furious as the pony delegation staggered and flopped back around Big Macintosh, finding a new appreciation for the huge stallion. Yet one didn't. Cheddar waved his hooves as he jabbered to the zebras who advanced out of the hole in the earth. The zebra envoys were shoved and kicked aside as the newcomers moved in on the fallen princess. The elder tried to move in beside Cheddar, snapping in rapid-fire zebra. Some of the zebra attackers, with almost contemptuous ease, scooped her up and tossed her onto another zebra's back, and she was swiftly borne away from the fighting. "Get behind me," Big Macintosh thundered. "No. Please? Peace. We want peace," Cheddar shouted as the zebra attackers advanced. "Have it," a stallion replied calmly. The powerful zebra rose and brought his hooves down in one thunderous thump that exploded my friend's head like a grape. My round returned the favor a moment later, the enchanted bullet magically punching a hole the diameter of my hoof through his head. I fired before his blow fell, but the distance had prevented my friend's salvation by a half second. "Forgive me, Luna, for I have taken the life of another." Chaos reigned as the zebras engaged the security force on all sides. Big Macintosh, in only his armor, stood between the princess and her attackers. The zebras were as unarmed as the Red Earth pony, but they moved with the deadly swiftness and strength of rampage. 4-on-1, they flanked and surrounded the stallion, who met blow with blow. The zebras, however, had to keep back, and moving, they knew I was out here. No doubt a sniper was looking for me the second. I couldn't count on headshots, but I could punch a hole through any zebra that dared to stop for more than a moment. "Where is the 3rd Battalion?" I heard a shout over my radio. Was it Vanity? "We're pinned down." Doaf's minigun maintained a spray of firepower at any zebra that dared to get close to the Skywagons. The Gray Stallion bled from a dozen holes, but he only stopped firing to chug a healing potion and let some pony reload the gun. Overhead, Jetstream and the other flyers worked to keep the bat-winged zebras from spreading out and assuming air superiority. Twist and the Predator moved through the rocks, taking down the sniper teams as fast as they could. But they were still after the Princess. If they managed to get her, they could flee back to zebra territory if the 3rd wasn't in position to stop them as planned. It was a huge window, and there were far more zebras in the valley than our own people. Something heavy landed on my back, Rivas trying to grab my head through the cloak. I didn't dare look away from the Red Stallion struggling against his attackers. If they hadn't been trying to capture Celestia, they would have simply gunned him down. If I looked away, I couldn't look away. My horn pulled my sidearm, pressed it to the bat-winged zebra atop me, and started firing. I heard a mare scream, struggling to snap my neck as I maintained focus. Then the hooves around my throat grew weaker as blood soaked my cloak and hide. The Peace Envoy struggled to help Big Macintosh, but they weren't soldiers. They'd been poisoned, too, and several, like Celestia, were either unconscious or sickened. The best they did was to slow one of the zebras long enough for me to blast out their throat. Too many were kicked and lay where they fell, dead or close enough that it didn't matter. I couldn't let them take Celestia. "Please, some pony, any pony, help." All I could do was shoot things. That's all I could do. Big Macintosh, bleeding and bruised, refused to fall. His coat shiny with blood, standing to protect what were likely broken ribs when I matted with blood, he stood on. He would not fall. Could not fall. One of the zebras darted in for a shattering kick, but the stoic pony took the blow and grabbed the hind leg between his hooves. The zebra struggled and flailed, and my round punched through his chest. The last attacker made a charge on the injured Red Stallion. As he was beaten by a dozen savage blows of horrific strength, I felt an icy certainty that he would fall, Celestia would be taken, the war would be lost, and Luna would be ruined. I couldn't let that happen. I tried to lead the shot, but the blood of the slain zebra dripped into my eyes and smeared my vision with a single blink. I fired, but my shot went wide. "No," I whispered in horror, tears dripping, as I struggled to adjust my aim before it was too late. Then, despite all his injuries and the debilitating poison, Big Macintosh turned, as if to run. The zebra let out a scream of triumph. But Big Macintosh's body wasn't set for flight. As the zebra dropped to attack, Macintosh's hind legs pulled back and unleashed one final immense kick that connected with shattering force. The striped stallion careened away and hit the dirt, laying prone on the ground, like a sack of broken bones and meat. Then Big Macintosh collapsed on the grass beside Celestia. But he wasn't done. I could see another 24 zebras racing towards him from the head of the valley. They were only minutes away. "We need EVAC for Celestia and Big Macintosh now. Right now," I cried out as I shoved the zebra corpse off me and struggled to clear my vision. "We're pinned down," Apple Snack snapped. "Can't move 2 steps without the damned stripes climbing all over us." "It's hoof to hoof in these rocks," shouted Twist, followed by a battle cry. "Damn zebras have reinforcements." "We should be there in 5 minutes," Vanity swore. I looked at the striped attackers racing towards the ruins of the tent. Big Macintosh and the Princess didn't have 5 minutes, and from the firearms the zebras brandished, I doubted they'd let Big Macintosh get off another kick even if he was in any state to try. I checked my ammo. 2 rounds left. How would I go through it all so quickly? "You've got to get Celestia out of there, Macintosh," I said, as I slid the magazine into place and pulled back the bolt. "Please? Please, we can't let them take her." "Nope," he replied simply, as he rose to stand over Celestia once more, and then his rear leg gave out and he slumped beside her, grimacing in pain. "K, can't get myself out of here, yet alone the princess. Just got to delay for vanity. I entertain the wild notion of somehow running the 500 yards, and carrying them both to safety, a mad idea. Madness. There was only one thing to do. We can't let them capture her, Big Macintosh. I slowly moved my aim down till it was pointed at her unconscious royal head. Maybe it was the sound of my voice, but with a grunt of pain he rose, and turned to face my firing position. What are you thinking, son? Better Celestia a martyr, and a prisoner, I said, and at once Macintosh stepped between me and the princess. His green eyes stared at me. Move, Big Macintosh. Please? Nope, he replied, his gaze level. Our mission is to protect Celestia. Understand? They'll be on you in a minute. They're going to take her, I pleaded over the radio. Please, move. If they do, you and the marauders will get her back. Understand? I ain't going to move, he said calmly, steadily, doing what was right. What was right and honorable and true. Please, Sergeant. Please, I begged, tears running down. They'd overpower Big Macintosh in a few seconds, and there were several with bat-wing talismans. Don't make me shoot you. Nope. I know you won't, Sam, was all he said, as he stared at me and smiled. I know you're a good pony. He was the best of us. Honorable. True. A good pony with a noble and caring heart. And I put a bullet straight through it. He dropped slowly as his face relaxed, fighting every second to protect Celestia. I could barely aim through my ears. I just had to take two more lives, and then I'd be done. The princess's, and then my own. There was no forgiveness for this. Not for this. But at least Luna would still be able to save other, better ponies, and myself. Forgive me, Luna, for I have taken the life of another, I breathed as blinked away the tears, and stared at Celestia's head in my crosshairs. Then the skies were split by a ripping boom as a dozen trails of crackling clouds coursed through the air, led by a single rainbow vein. Like streaking missiles, the shadow bolts broke formation and engaged the zebra with terrifying speed and force. Rainbow Dash herself looped like a rainbow mane goddess of death and slammed right into the body of zebra racing for Big Macintosh and Princess Celestia. The blast scattered them far and wide as a polychromatic cloud rose from the impact crater. At that point, the fight was over. The shadow bolts finally made the zebras give up and retreat with their elder. I just watched from 500 yards away as the marauders raced towards the blasted pavilion, hugging pennants to my chest and rocking as I stared. I could barely make out Apple's neck through my ears, but I couldn't miss his howl of pain as he threw away his gun and knelt beside the fallen pony. I heard Twist's painful sobbing, punctuated with thumps of hooves against unfeeling rocks, Jetstream's stunned denials, and Doof's obscenity-laden rant. Echo was murmuring in a stunned voice that Sergeant Big Macintosh was down. That was when I promptly leaned over, vomited, and shot out the world and what I'd just done. The shadow bolts found me and carried me back to the wagons, where I sat apart and hugged my rifle. Celestia was flown away, pain and sorrow etched into her features. I had doubts she'd ever attempt anything like this again. All any pony could do was weep and rage for the fallen hero who'd courageously placed himself over Celestia's body to take the bullet. No pony had yet figured that the direction was all wrong to be a zebra sniper, or that the bullet had been one of mine. Only Gold and Blood looked critically at me as I curled up, clutching pennants, praying for some salvation I didn't deserve. The scarred, exhausted stallion trotted next to me. What happened? Was all he asked. I thought they were going to take her. Luna, forgive me, I begged him to move, I whispered. His golden eyes met mine, and I broke, sobbing hysterically. He wrapped his hooves around me, holding me close. One damn pony commiserating with another, ... I woke to Glory shaking my shoulder, and started, looking up into her eyes. She killed him, I whispered. What? Killed who? Glory asked in confusion as I sat up, my body aching. Tunks needed to come with mattresses. Big Macintosh. I saw how he died, I said, as I tried to shake it. Such a pivotal moment, Had Big Macintosh lived, would Twilight have left the Ministry of Arcane Sciences? Would the world have blown up, or would something else entirely different have happened? I saw the cameras of the Dank on me, Twist watched me from the depths of Rampage's eyes. I could almost feel the dealer listening in. It surprised me when Twister said from above, "Yeah. Killed by a zebra sniper at Shattered Hoof Fridge. Horrible fight." It said he leapt in front of the sniper to shield Celestia from his bullets. His funeral was probably the most heavily attended in equestrian history. If several elements of the 3rd Battalion hadn't turned traitor, it never could have happened. The Pegasus looked down at me. "What?" "Amer can't have a fancy for military history." "History isn't always what the books say," I murmured as I looked away, then frowned. Disrupt his engines, was it just me, or did his motor sound benoit? I scowled and looked around. "Where the hey are we?" "On the edge of the Badlands," Rampage said with a yawn. "You missed flank. Place is a wreck with Caprice gone. I swear, in 5 years, they're going to be nothing more than a gang of drugged-out fiends infesting the ruins," the mayor said contemptuously. Even though it was the middle of the night, my eyes could see well enough to make out the oddities in the terrain. It looked like some pony had taken an immense pencil and drawn lines back and forth across the land to the south. Walls of crumbling concrete and rusted heaps lay scattered as far as I could see, some with long-abandoned rifles rusting silently away. Many of the lines were muddy ruts and ravines left in the landscape. Rusted artillery pieces lay with their red barrels threatening the skies. And there were bones. Everywhere I looked were bones and skulls sticking out of the earth, as if the remains struggled to keep fighting each other. A reek of sulfur hung in the air, and patches of dense mist skulked along the deformations in the crinkled land. "It's a battlefield," I muttered in stunned disbelief. For almost 4 years. Everything from here to Dawn Bay is a mess of trenches, bunkers, fortifications, and bases, Twister said in a subdued voice, as she hovered above. "Surfacers are idiots," Boomer commented, punctuated by a yawn. "It was genius," Twister disagreed. "It's estimated that almost 3 million zebras died assaulting Hoofington, while pony casualties were less than 200,000. That's 3 million that weren't attacking Manhattan or Canterlot. Hoofington was such a critical target that they simply couldn't ignore it. But this place was more than just a military target. A cursed city. Nightmare Moon City. The Maiden of the Stars City. And looking at all the sorrow this place had wrought, who could say that they were wrong? The Takamere was here, and if the zebras were right, it was something far worse than just a machine. The idea of something so mind-bogglingly powerful staggered me. And if it was just some superpower source, what would happen if Cognitum or Dawn got their hooves on EC-1101 and used it to control that kind of energy? Would anything stop them at that point? I'd seen the dormant factories underneath the city and the machines moving on their mechanical trains back and forth. Sweet Celestia, I hated this place. To the northeast I could see a massive lake, so large I that couldn't see across it. In the growing gloom, I looked at Twister and gave a little frown, before asking, "What do you know about Nightmare Moon's battle with Celestia?" The Pegasus stared, nonplussed, and I felt a little apprehensive. "I remember hearing that she fought Celestia here." Twister, and every pony else, looked a little surprised by that. "Well, that's ancient history. But yes, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, Celestia brought her armies here for a final confrontation with Luna. Accounts differ. The one I like is that Celestia punched through into the valley, but was cut off from her main forces. Apparently, every pony expected a duel to the death atop MT Hoof, that big granite knot at the south end of the core. Somehow, Celestia banished her sister to the moon instead, and scattered Nightmare Moon's bat pony forces back to her hidden citadel. How do you hide a whole castle?" Scotch Ape asked curiously, as she lounged on the top of Deosterit. Given that Luna was Princess of the Night, I could only imagine, no pony knows. It said that ponies could only find it with the express permission of the princess or her top generals. Twister gave a small shrug as she flew beside the tank. Regardless, it was so long ago that no pony knows how or why things happened back then. My thoughts were interrupted by the sight of a bridge spanning a narrow in the reservoir. The sight of the cantilever structure made me look at Diaz. Is that going to hold him? Rampage snorted and rolled her eyes. Blackjack, given all you've seen, how can you doubt equestrian engineering? Even after 200 years, it's probably as strong as it's ever been. When you have four anchors for legs, then you can tell me not to worry, I said with a scowl as I walked to the front of the tank. When Diaz stopped, I hopped off and trotted ahead. Just let me go a little bit ahead and check for weak spots. Glory landed on one side of me, and P-21 trotted up on the other. For a moment it was almost like when we'd first set off in the wasteland, even if Glory looked like Rainbow Dash now. Why, we even had Diaz following us. Rampage turned out to be correct, the bridge was entirely sound, and we reached the central span of the structure without incident. Then I spotted a red bar straight ahead of us. Then more. I stopped, and drew the assault carbine with my magic. P-21 disappeared off to the side almost instantly. Looked like the Harbingers had picked an excellent place for an AMBU, looky here. Two fine ladies wanting to use our bridge, a unicorn stallion called out as a half dozen bandits trotted out from behind the cover of a rusty sky wagon laying on its side, in the middle of the road. A mustard yellow unicorn wearing patched up spiked barding gave a cocky grin, as he approached, his black mane pulled into something that might vaguely be a style. Then his eyes landed on Glory. With a Rainbow Dash impersonator. Whatever is the wasteland coming to? A badly scarred brown earth stallion stepped up next to the unicorn as the first pony whirled his goatee with a hoof. He eyed us both in wary confusion. Snide. Shouldn't they have Brahmin if they're traitors? I mean, she's got a BB gun, and her legs are metal. Maybe we should let them bite. Nonsense. The unicorn said with a toss of his head, as he looked at us. The toll is 100 caps each. If you two make, like good little ladies, and don't raise a fuss, we'll let you go without trouble. He smiled broadly. You have my word. That means we take all their money, right, Snide? The scarred brute asked. After they take it out and stuff. Oh, you shut up, numbskull, the unicorn snapped. You're just robbers. I asked slowly, as I looked around at the half dozen ponies. You're not with the Harbingers. Mike, some pony is slow on the uptake, Snide snorted, rolling his eyes, and getting a chuckle out of his men. Now, make, like good ponies and hand, over the caps. I gave a crooked smile to Glory. With SATS we could vaporize the lot of them in a flash. Maybe you should listen to your friend there. Haven't you heard about a cyber pony trotting around here? Calls herself security. Yeah, right. Every pony knows that security never comes this far south, Snide said with another snort. I don't know, Snide. I mean, she does got the metal legs. The big one rubbed his chin with a brass hoof. I really think we should just let them bite. See? That's where you messed up, numbskull. You used the word think. The thinking is my job. He turned back to me and sighed, rolling his eyes, once more. Good help is so very hard to find. Now, where were we? I sighed and rubbed my face. Look. I understand that you're just trying to get by. I do. And if you actually protected travelers as they crossed, I probably wouldn't mind. But your friend is right. I am security, and if you try and shake me down, it's going to go very badly for you. Please? Do you really think you're the first mare who's claimed that? If we let every pony saying she's security through here, then we might as well just throw in the towel. He squinted at my legs. Probably sheet metal. And security's legs are white, not black. Or so I heard. But there was one in the back, a dirty brown stallion with a pair of hoof cuffs on his flank, who seemed to have second thoughts, a terrified, haunted look crossing his face. He didn't just think I was security. He knew me. I don't know, boss. Maybe we should tell her the sob story? Do you know, the one you told us in case we ever ran into her? The scarred brute turned to me. We was all part of a nice and peaceful settlement long ways from here when we was attacked by a lot of bad ponies. So now we is here to be good ponies. And we don't do nothing bad. Ever. cross me heart, and hope to cry and, something about eyes. He crossed his brass hooves over his chest. I felt to rumble through my hooves. Oh, shut up! The unicorn snapped, smacking the scarred pony upside his head. We only tell that story if we're sure it's security. Now get over there, and take all their caps, you idiot. Then a lot of us were painted by DS's headlights. The two cannons and machine gun turrets oriented right towards the band of raiders. Three power-armored Begazi and an Alicorn flew above him like an avenging wing of death. Rampage lounged on the hood in her spiked armor, pressing one hoof to the metal just hard enough for the magic talismans to release one small arc of electricity. We got tired of waiting. Snide gaped at the sight of more death than he'd probably ever seen pointed at him in his life, and then stared at me, his pupils constricting to points, as he adopted a rictus grin. Loveliest settlement you ever saw. Most peaceful ponies in all the wasteland, we were. Skip it, I replied with a small smile. Quick! Use the failsafe! Snide shouted, as he whirled to run and was struck in the face by a chunk of metal tossed by P-21. Your failsafe was garbage, the blue pony retorted. 10 fragmentation grenades and a half dozen bricks of C4 wouldn't even dent the underside of this bridge with your layout. Oh. That's good to know. Snide held the scrap of metal in his hooves and then dropped it, as he'd earned back to me. Oh, fine. You got us. Another scourge of the wasteland destroyed. Huzzah. Just make it quick. I just sighed and covered my face. Contrary to popular belief, I don't play judge and executioner. I haven't heard anything about a band of raiders raping and murdering everyone trying to use this bridge. If I search that skywagon, am I going to find a bunch of raped and brutalized ponies? I asked slowly. What? No. Snide said, quickly, looking repulsed and uneasy. We can go to flank if we want that. We're just trying to get by, he finished lamely, as he spread his hooves. And I can respect that, I said in low, reasonable tones. In fact, if you can keep this bridge safe for travelers, I imagine most wouldn't mind paying a small fee. When his gaze turned sly, I added, small, reasonable, manageable fee. He immediately bobbed his head, the relief evident, as it spread across his face. Glory Leendon. Are you sure this is okay, Blackjack? No, I replied, trying not to look uncertain. But I'm not an executioner. I've worked with gangers before. I have to give them a chance. But the brown earth pony stallion was still acting quite skittish, and finally it got on my nerves. I looked right at him and snapped, is there a problem? He didn't answer, but P-21 did. Phew. The earth pony shouted, as he charged the wastelander. The others watched in astonished bafflement, as the blue earth pony slammed the brown stallion against the rails. Get off me! He spluttered in anger, but I saw the fear in his eyes, eyes that were on me. He's from the Seahorse. P-21 shouted. He's one of the stallions you spared. A strange calm stole over me and I felt a wire drawn tight inside me. I see, was all I could manage as my horn slowly lifted vigilance. Tell me, this pony, has he raped anyone in the last few days? Shut up! The brown earth pony shouted. What? Clink! Snide looked at the brown stallion in bafflement. What if he did? Because I gave him his life once when he wronged me. I was astonished by how calm I felt. Serene, even. So tell me, has he? Snide coughed and looked away. Well, you see, one can't be that picky recruiting help and, of course he did. The confused, scarred stallion frowned, and answered, that caravaner's daughter. Remember? Wanted to keep slaves, and all. Shut up! Clink screamed, as he shoved P-21 away, and started to run. My bullet flew with all the accuracy of SATS right through the back of his rear right knee, and he collapsed, screaming. I'd screamed like that once, recently. Slowly I advanced with sublime calm. Screaming obscenities, he flopped, and writhed, and yet I had no problem blasting another kneecap. Please? He begged, as he tried to shield his face. You said you weren't an executioner. Please? He cried out as I calmly advanced. Be kind. No, flatter shy. Not this time. Do better. It's not for me to do better. It was him. Now I am going to do better. I pointed the gun right at his head as he lay there in a spreading pool of filth. I was fairly certain he'd be crippled for life. Perhaps he'd bleed out. But I looked down the barrel and stared right into his eye. I'd given him mercy and he'd squandered it. He'd hurt others. It was every bit my fault. If I'd killed him, he wouldn't have hurt another pony. All I had to do was become a killer. I stared straight into his eye, everyone watching both of us, as I tried to summon up every iota of pain, shame, and humiliation I suffered that horrible time. I needed only a few pounds of pressure to kill him. The bullet would tear through his brain like a sledgehammer. Glory watched with a mix of sadness and concern. Was she afraid I'd do it, or that I wouldn't? P-21 just stared with quiet certainty. If I didn't, he would. All the others left it up to me. Why? I whispered, whether to him, or to myself, I didn't know. Why do you have to make it so fucking difficult? I spat, as a tear ran down my cheek. Would the wasteland not be happy till I'd shed that last little inch? Till I lowered myself into the blood, and slaughtered like my enemies. I wasn't a killer. Wasn't an executioner. That was it. My last tiny connection between that poor clueless mare, who'd left 99, and this half-metal monstrosity I was now. I'm sorry. Please? I'm so sorry, the stallion groveled. A thread of integrity. It was all I had. Kill the stallion, give him a gift of death. Punish him, and prevent him from harming another. And worst of all, I wanted to. I wanted so much that my muscles ached with the need to harm him. To cast away that last little inch of integrity. To do what any mare in all the wasteland should do, would do at the drop of a hat, but I wasn't a killer. Maybe the stallion saw it in my eyes, but the fear in him melted away. The corner of his mouth twisted in disbelief that I was weak enough to spare him twice. Even with the glowing pistol pointed right at his face, he knew I couldn't pull the trigger. The round ripped right between his eyes, and sprayed his brains across the crumbled asphalt. No, I stared at his limp body. That hadn't happened. Couldn't, never. Then I heard the most gentle whisper through my mind. Forgive me, Luna, for I have taken the life of another. I didn't talk to any pony for almost an hour, after that, walking along behind the tank, and lost in my own thoughts. Glory tried talking to me every few minutes, before giving up and leaving me alone. Snide had promised everything from his firstborn to his mother not to be next. Apparently summary executions were quite persuasive. No wonder they were so common. If I'd just started killing people from the outset, the hoof would probably be fixed by now. Unfortunately, my friends didn't seem to remember that I had augmented hearing. I'm sure that blackjack will be fine, Glory. You said that if you ever came across any of those four, that you'd kill them too, Rampage said. I know what I said, but I didn't think Blackjack would do it, Glory retorted. She's always been so adamant on not being an executioner. Yeah. Softest heart in the wasteland, Rampage trolled. Look, every pony has to bust their murder cherry eventually. Blackjack finally popped hers. She'll get over it. I didn't want to get over it. I didn't want to do it at all. Do you know something's wrong with Blackjack, though? Glory said with a glance back at me. She's changing. I can see it. We've all changed. You're Rainbow Dash now, remember? Rampage said. Please don't remind me. We're moving so slowly it makes me want to scream, Glory replied sharply, then sighed. I don't know. I worry about her all the time. It's like there's something inside her and it's twisting and turning her about. If only she'd talk to me, if you only knew, Glory. If I only could, it boils down to this, do you trust Blackjack? P-21 said to the others. Pick a day. Sometimes she's so good she makes me scream. And then she pulls something like this, Rampage replied. I know I'm the group bag of crazy, but you have to admit that BJ's right up there with me. I waited to hear Glory disagree with her. Her silence contorted inside me. We just have to be there for her. As simple as that, P21 replied. As much as she's been there for us. It will work out, Glory said with one last glance back at me and the smallest smile. She still had hope, even after everything I'd done. Do you know better? The dealer rasped, beside me. I looked at the gaunt, pale stallion with a twinge of annoyance. How easy it was for him, riding along in my pit buck when I was the one who pulled the trigger. What do I know? I snapped back at him. That it's wrong to kill ponies. That I should try and do better. That, I saw Glory, and everyone looking at me oddly and said sarcastically, I'm just talking to the invisible pony that lives in my pit buck, folks. Every pony just pointedly looked away. What you should know is to skip this whole cycle of hitting yourself and then pitying yourself. It's really not healthy and it makes you really whiny, he said, as he walked along with a scowl. If Clink had lived 2 centuries ago, he would have spent the rest of his life in Hightower, or worse. There was always worse towards the end. And I know his victims wouldn't have shed a tear. I killed him. Or I've finally snapped and gone full crazy town. He cocked his head. I have some in my dreams, and now I'm hearing her in my thoughts, when I'm awake. So between her, the NNNGHHH, and you, my brain is getting pretty damn crowded at the moment. Dealer just looked at me with a mix of patience and resignation. Did you know it was some who shot Big Macintosh? Not a zebra. One of our own. Trying to kill Celestia. I gave a little scream and smacked my head with a metal hoof. And now that thing is inside me. I pitied some. Now I was turning into her. I knew. I'd heard the transmission, he said grimly. But Big Macintosh's body wasn't even cold before the report went out. There was no investigation of his death. It wasn't even a day before Golden Blood disappeared her into the OIA and you didn't tell any pony. Who would I tell? Pinkie Pie. Rarity. He snorted, every pony wanted to believe it was a zebra that killed Big Macintosh, so it was. The triumphant hero sacrificing himself for the greater cause, while protecting the princess. I would have been labeled a crackpot conspiracy theorist, or worse, disappeared myself. I sometimes think that Golden Blood took me into the OIA just because I knew. Don't you understand? History isn't truth. History is what every pony decides to settle on as what happened. But behind that there are 1,000 little causes and twists and permutations in the cracks that shape events. You're seeing everything I saw. And if you're feeling disillusioned, then congratulations. You've finally stumbled onto the truth. Do you know what else is the truth? I'm a murderer. I killed him. I grit my teeth, feeling everything fall apart. Damn me, I wanted to so badly. I wanted him dead. But I couldn't, and then I pulled the trigger, a solemn voice said inside me. For an instant I was sure that Tom was now talking to me, but it was the comforting voice of Lacuna. The large purple alicorn landed next to me. You aren't the only pony with magic, Blackjack. She'd been all the way back by the tank, how had she reached that far? Phew, but why? I mentally stammered back at her. Do you know what would have happened if you hadn't killed him? If P21 or some pony else had been forced to do it for you. You would have become a joke, Blackjack. You want to change the wasteland. Well, unfortunately, fear has a powerful effect on others. If it became known that you were so merciful that you couldn't kill your own rapist just because he said sorry, then every raider with half a brain left would quietly wait for you to pass so that they could prey on others. Your friends would have to kill on your behalf, and it doesn't matter how loving or tough they are, that would poison your relationship with them. I don't want to be a killer, I said quietly. I don't want to turn into some. I know what I did at Yellow River, what I'm capable of. The Maiden of the Stars shall bring death and destruction. It's not your fault, Blackjack. It's mine. Put it out of your mind, Lacuna said solemnly. But I couldn't put it out of my mind. Ever since I'd first dreamed of some, I'd felt myself changing. I wasn't completely sure who was in charge of me anymore. Was Blackjack at the controls? Some? The goddess? The dealer? The stars? I felt like I was dancing on strings and had no idea who was pulling them. Even Golden Blood and his damned projects were tugging at me from two centuries in the past. They were woven into my very body. The problem was that the idea that I wasn't in control of myself was so wonderfully seductive. All I had to do was simply believe it, and the burden of responsibility would be lifted from my shoulders. It was the refuge of every madman and monster. Don't blame me, I can't help it. And the most terrifying thought was that it might be true. What if I wasn't in control? What if any one of those things was manipulating me? Everything I'd ever seen looked manipulated and contrived. How could I be any different? Even now, Lacune's assurances felt superficial and false. Maybe she was just lying to try and make me feel better about Clink. Maybe the goddess was making her lie. How could I trust anything at this point? The marauders had broken apart. Dawn's companions had too. Maybe friendship itself was a contrived convenience, so we wouldn't feel so lonely and vulnerable. Were we even friends? I wanted to cut those strings so badly I could scream. But I knew I couldn't do it alone. I'd tried that, and I'd gone far too close to full madness than I ever wanted to imagine. I looked up at those ponies riding on the tank, and sighed, then looked at Lacune. Can you give me a lift? The Alicorn nodded and carried me up onto the tank turret, where they made room for me. Hey, I said, as I took a seat between Glory and P-21, putting a hoof around the former's shoulders and giving her nuzzle. Mind if we talk a little about what happened? Glory nearly cried as she smiled and nodded. Sure. Okay, so it was a bit of a mess, but over the next blubbery hour we talked. I told them everything I could that didn't involve the goddess or Lacune's claim that it was she who'd pulled the trigger. I confessed my fears and frustrations, the idea that maybe I wasn't in control of myself as much as I should have been. There wasn't much my friends could do besides listen, but they did. And afterwards, I found that, despite everything, I did feel a little better. We were now further southeast than I had ever been before. The bare dirt was studded with rocks, and the detritus of 10 years of war. There were the hulls of dank sandsky wagons left to rust, crumbling fortifications and blast barriers that leaned this way and that along the road. We drove by the massive remains of what I suspected was a raptor. A little to the northeast was a building so wide and massive that, at first, I thought it was a more angular mountain. A mystery for another day, we'd reached the turnoff to the base. A bullet hole sign pointed the way off the main road and to the southeast. The wide, low rise the base lay upon was shrouded in mist. Wisps and vapors curled around us as we moved slowly along the road up the towards the clusters of reinforced buildings. A sulfurous scent tinged the air, and muddy patches of steamy water bubbled and trickled beside the road. The detritus almost like a scrapyard, there was so much ruin. A monument to squandered blood and treasure. Then a discolored plaque on a bullet-chipped concrete block came into view, Grimhoof Army Base. Beyond, I could make out the vaguest hints of huge, squatting buildings half hidden by the mist. Oh, this has bad written all over it, Rampage said as she hopped off the ice and out to the crumbling gates. Even Dias seemed to be trying to be quieter in the concealing fog. Is there anything you can do about this? She asked Glory and the Navarro trio. We could, but everything would know we're here, Twister said as she looked around, her beam rifles humming softly. We'd be stealthier without the tank, do you know? Maybe. But I've met a hellhound. I definitely want superior firepower if we need it, I muttered as we reached the twisted and rusted gates. Why would the Enclave be interested in hellhounds in the first place? I asked Twister. P-21 took one look at the rusted lock on the gate and gave a shake of his head. I don't know. Intelligence, that is, Thunderhead, said they'd make ideal and easily controlled shock troops, Twister said. She popped the rusted overlock easily with her power-armored hooves. But if we're maintaining our separation policy, what do we care what's on the surface? We can't house hellhounds in clouds. Can't control or monitor them on the ground. It didn't make any sense. Hell. It'd make more sense to back groups of Earth Pony mercenaries, Boomer muttered. Give them weapons, food, and supplies, and have them conquer the surface for us. I thought of Harbinger and his talk with the goddess providing support and security, and the enclave providing firepower. Or you could actually engage the surface peacefully, Glory snapped at the trio. Trade food for materials? Things like that. As thrilling as politics are, aren't we trying to be quiet? P21 asked, as he moved forward. Smart Pony had a good point. Dias had a momentary pause at the gates, and then the front of the machine opened up and two mandibles began to pull the gates into the front of the tank. Though I winced at the popping and jingling, it was over in just a few seconds. I guess that was how the tank recovered metal for its repair talisman. Since nothing came after us immediately, I guessed we dodged a bullet. Moving into the base, it was clear that these reinforced buildings had been heavily targeted by the enemy. My rad meter began to tick immediately, and spiked whenever we drew close to the hulking structures. Some looked as if they'd been directly targeted by tactical balefire weaponry. The concrete blackened, and the reinforcing steel melted and warped. There were larger weapons that had been reduced to distorted figures of rust, their twisted barrels thrust defiantly upwards in the mist. And there were red bars. Everywhere I turned there was a red bar moving this way, or that. Were there enclave Begazi flying silently in the fog above us? Were hellhounds hiding in the ruined hulks of the structures around us waiting to spring an ambush? The quiet tremble of this was the only sound I could make out. Lacune, Glory, and the Navarro trio hovered above us. Rampage and I flanked Dias. P21 had disappeared into the mist. Scotch Ape and burrowed on the turret. We had more firepower in one place and time than I'd ever had before. So why was my main going crazy? Scotch Ape began to struggle with Boo, and the olive filly said, as loudly as she dared, Blackjack. What's wrong with her? Settle down, Boo. But Boo wasn't settling down. She struggled to get away. But away from what? Dias was the safest thing around. But I trusted the white pony's instincts and said, let her go. Scotch looked at me skeptically, then released the blank mare. She immediately scrambled off the tank and backed away from it, and then she suddenly looked down and jumped aside, then jumped yet again. Like there was something wrong with the ground, dogs dig. I watched her, and then slowly knelt down, turned, and pressed the side of my head to the cool, wet asphalt. For several seconds I felt completely ridiculous. Then I heard it, a deep, hollow scraping noise followed by another and another. Then there was a pause and the whine of an magical energy weapon being primed right beneath my head. I fell back just a second, before a crimson beam tore up through the asphalt and into the sky. There below was all I got out before the ground exploded, and a massive canine monster tore through with one claw, while the other brought the largest energy pistol I'd ever seen to bear. I floated out vigilance and jumped immediately into SATS, firing 5 rounds into its snarling brownish-black face. Its head, a ruin of meat and bone, didn't explode, nor did the beast retreat. Instead it clawed the air in front of me, claws ripping or froze in the asphalt as it began to fire wildly. The energy weapon crackled with unstable malice as it unloaded again and again. There were 2 more pops, and 2 more hellhounds emerged from the asphalt, bringing even larger magical weapons to bear. The scarlet beams flamed in the air as they tore up at our flyers. The radiation pouring from the holes spiked my pipbuck. I didn't want to imagine the source. Every one of the hellhounds wore a bizarre smooth helmet that seemed out of place from their crude weaponry and claw-cut and hammered armor. Dias gunned his engine, and the machine gun swung forward and began to spray the hounds in their holes, but they disappeared almost instantly, as if ready for it. I pressed myself to the ground and fired the entire 10-round clip into the hellhound before me before it finally dropped back into the hole. Victory? No. Boo, staring wide-eyed at the walls, still appeared as scared as before. They're not gone. I called out as I loaded a fresh magazine with armor-piercing rounds. Then the wall of the massive building beside the tank gave a crack and detached from the rest of the structure as the foundation crumbled. Like a falling drawbridge, the entire slab collapsed onto Dias with a squeal of metal. I could only pray that Scotch had ducked inside before the concrete had fallen. But we had other worries. Emerging from the gap left in the wall were 4 more hellhounds. two dropped to one knee behind a chunk of rubble, and sprayed the skies with a hissing, crackling, gatling variety of beaminess, while the other two lunged for myself and rampage. The heavily plated hounds dragged their claws along the asphalt, the long edges filling the air with an ominous hiss as they closed the distance. Rampage didn't wait for the hellhounds to close. The adolescent mare roared a challenge of her own and charged. She leaped, and smashed all four power hooves against the first hellhound's face. The energy cells discharged, blasting her away to backflip through the air and land as the hellhound staggered. Rampage wasted no time, charging again right between the hellhound's legs and running the serrated spine of her armor against something quite tender, that Dora howl from the hound. Her razor wire tail caught in the matted crotch of the beast and with a yank pulled the hellhound to sit on the broken pavement. Rampage then rose and brought down her hooves in a flashing storm of blows to the hellhound's neck and skull till something cracked inside. I didn't have the luxury of her size or pointed edges as I drew my silver sword and swung it in a futile effort to keep the beast attacking me at bay. Even though the edge could cut through the heavy steel plating, I didn't have the magical strength to make it through on my own. The hellhound leered as I danced back, the razor-sharp claws of one hand slashing around as I tried to block the other. Vigilance punched holes in the hellhound, but I wasn't really doing much in the way of damage. Worse, I suspected from the lack of blood that the creature might be regenerating. Not good. I swapped to the shotgun as I gave ground, but the buckshot mostly deflected off my foe. I swapped to the assault carbine, but the close quarters meant that I was firing wildly at best. I suddenly fell to a wall behind me, and the hellhound sprang. Sword and forelimb stopped claws that could carve through stone. Quickly, I twisted to the side, so I could give more ground. Damn it. I am not breaking these legs. I swore, as the claws carved shallow channels into the black metal with mere glancing blows. Celestia help me if those things landed a direct strike. The hellhound suddenly lifted its powerful forelegs and flipped me with a crash onto my back. It spread its mighty arms wide and let out a shattering roar of victory. A dull THHMP went off in the mist behind me and the hellhound's yellow, bloodshot eyes widened in shock as it clutched its throat. A second later its torso erupted into jets of gore spurting up and down as the grenade went off. P-21 trotted out and shoved me back to my hooves without a word, and I felt myself go red. Right now really wasn't the time for embarrassment. Glory and the Pegasi were keeping the two shooters busy, trading fire back and forth. Theus's engine roared as his treads clawed at the asphalt, slowly pulling himself out from under the slab. Suddenly a piece of the road gave way with a crash. The hellhounds were trying to undermine the tank before he could pull free. If he got buried, Theus. Fire. I shouted. Get clear. There was a muffled explosion as the section of wall split into three smoking chunks and flew away from the front of the tank. One arched high and came down on a hellhound more keen on shooting lacunae than paying attention directly above him. It landed with a resounding crunch. Now freed of the wall, Theus retreated several yards as the road collapsed in a sinkhole. Four hellhounds blinked up as they stared at the twin cannons in horrified realization. Not even hellhound hide was tough enough to withstand that. Still, there were a lot more of them. They clawed their way out of the ground and poured out of the irradiated army buildings, their crude but powerful energy weapons crackling and filling the air with buzzing beams of death. We need to move, I yelled. The tank rolled forward and launched out the far side of the crater, then climbed over the crumbled wall. Machine guns chattered as they chewed into the hellhounds trying to climb out of their holes, as he led the way, Boo, Rampage, and myself following in his wake. Lacunae and the Pegasi rained down beamfire behind us to deter pursuit. They must be being controlled by the Enclave through those helmets. Glory shouted from above. That's what's making them attack us. I hate to disagree, but this is fairly typical behavior for their kind, Lacunae pointed out as her shield flared under the barrage before she flew to one of the rusted rooftop weapons, teleported above one of the hellhounds, and dropped it on the beast. The hellhound dove aside before it connected, but that just let the red and green beams of the Pegasi turn him to dust. There were more coming, though. Move, move, move. I shouted as I ran. P-21 emerged, panting, as he struggled. Always with the running thing, he muttered. I dodged behind him, ducked my head, and with a lunge I scooped him up onto my back, and caught up with the others. His forehooves hugged my neck. Okay, this works. Then he shook his mane, pulled out an apple grenade, and dug the stem before letting it fly behind us and into the ranks of the hellhounds. The shrapnel didn't kill them, but at least it kept them from blasting us. Why do all your fights turn into running battles, Blackjack? Rampage asked. Two hellhounds poked their snouts out from a blown-out door, taking a bead on Boo. Rampage, with swiftness that shocked even me, charged the pair. The armored mare rolled and body slammed them with her spikes, knocking them back. Their crackling, sizzling weapons fired wildly, and the two beasts inexplicably dusted each other. Rampage stood and shook the glowing dust off with a baffled look. Hut, that's new. The bloody mare beamed at the blank pony. Good job, Boo. Boo just trembled in fear, looking as if she wished nothing more than to be back in Starhouse with a fancy buck cake. Anyway, as I was saying, Rampage continued, don't get me wrong. This running and fighting is a whole lot of fun, but I'd really appreciate a little variety in the future. Sorry to be so predictable. I jumped and rolled aside as the ground gave way beneath me, blasting the hound with a levitated shotgun as it emerged, not doing much harm, but surprising the creature. I might not be as sneaky on these hooves, but it was clear that I could still move as quickly when I needed to. Then I saw Dias driving beneath the footbridge between two of the large buildings, and saw the hellhounds perched along the edge. Look out! But it was too late. As Dias passed under them, a half dozen of the armored beasts dropped down and began to rip into his armor with their claws. He tried to strafe them with the machine gun turrets, but the creatures wrecked the turrets with rending rakes from their talons. Hold on. We'll help. I shouted, as I raced to try and pick them off from the tank. Dias had other ideas. He suddenly swerved and blasted the reinforced wall of a building ahead, punching through the hole. A cacophony of screaming metal, roaring engine, and ripping steel filled the air, and a great storm of dust blew out the windows as he passed. From the crashing within, I suspected he was taking the roof down as well. Suddenly there was another concussive blast and Dias erupted back out onto the street, his scoured armor free of any clinging hellhounds. He rolled to a stop, trailing dust and smoke. The hatch on his turret banged open, and a concussed-looking Scotch ape stood up, swaying slightly, and declared, "That was totally awesome. Let's do it again." Then she slumped and flopped on her back. Everything's been in. Or, that'll work. I admitted. Dias's engine gave a guttering laugh as the rips and tears slowly started to repair themselves. I looked back as Lacune and the Pegasi joined us. That was a whole lot of red bars. We can't keep running and shooting. Groniro or whatever his name was said the Enclave were controlling them. We need to find out how and stop it. Personally, I'm more interested in why the Enclave is here in the first place and the gadget they're using, though. The Navarro Pegasi gave firm nods of agreement. Scotch Ape staggered down from the top of the tank and flopped onto my back. Glory looked at my forehoof critically. If they're broadcasting a signal, you should be able to pick it up on your pip-buck, Blackjack. Just try to find an frequency in the P-band and, she met my flat gaze and adjusted. Look for the strongest channel. It'll probably be a lot of buzzing and screeching terminal talk. Thank you, I said as I looked behind us. We're going to have to split up. These hounds really seem to love chasing Dias. He can't take them for a run. Sunset, Boomer, and Twister can help keep them away. Lacuna can keep contact between us. I wouldn't elaborate on how. If we stop the broadcast, then hopefully the hellhounds will let us go. If not, then we run and tell Rover to teach his cousins about gratitude. Sorry. We're going to need one flyer with you, Twister said firmly. We were sent to find out what Thunderhead is up to. I can't run the risk that you withhold information. Fine. You can, I started to say when Sunset stepped forward. I'll go, the mare said in a firm tone that allowed no argument. Twister looked a touch surprised at the mare's assertiveness. Sunset went on, you're a better fighter, And I am, Sergeant, and you'll need Boomer's missiles. Twister looked at Boomer, who merely shrugged, and then back at the black-armored mare. All right, Sunset. Keep a sharp eye and report back whatever you find, Twister said, before taking to the air again. Diasgund has engines and roared off back down the road with the two power-armored Bagazzi and Alicorn in flight. We moved off to the side, and a minute later I felt a vibration under hoof. Nobody should be able to dig that fast. Perhaps they were taking existing tunnels and just digging the final stretches on the spot. When I started to move, P-21 reached out and stopped me. A second later I saw the slower red bars. Hellhound flankers moved along, sniffing at the air, as they pointed their ponderous, cobbled-together weapons about warily. For an instant, I was sure that we were doomed. I started to lift the carbine, but P-21 gave me the softest nudge. I glanced down and watched him give his head a tiny shake. I had to trust the smarter pony. A minute later the Hellhound straightened, and took off after Diaz as well. We're downwind, P-21 said simply, as he slung persuasion around his neck once more. Boo had relaxed as well, I suppose that would do. I frowned, as I looked around, but had no idea what I was looking for. A giant enclave flag. A map with Hellhound Control Center, clearly marked, would be nice. I looked at Glory with a hapless smile. Ideas? Glory frowned and flew up a short way, turning this way and that before she landed. Can I see your broadcaster? She asked. I thrust out my pit buck and she began to fiddle with it. Wouldn't use a broadcast band, P-band, yeah. There. A screeching, buzzing noise emanated from my pit buck, and I immediately turned the volume way down. That must be it. Now, she repeated the same process with her own pit buck, then finally worked on Sunset's armor. Now, you stay here, Blackjack, and swing your hoof around till the noise is loudest. I'll fly 100 yards north, Sunset can fly 100 yards south, and we'll triangulate on the transmission source. Did I mention how much I loved ponies smarter than me? Following her directions, we managed to find a general direction in which the signal was stronger than others. Grimhorn had a completely different layout from Miramare or Ironmare. Dozens of reinforced structures were clustered together between large expanses of open terrain. In the distance, we saw Dia staring across the wasteland, with a crowd of hellhounds, in close pursuit. If it hadn't been for that, we never would have been able to dash across the breaks in cover. In several places we were literally tiptoeing around radioactive holes dug in the earth. While the misty fog might have given some cover from sight, I didn't know how well the hellhounds could sniff us out. What's down there? Scotch Ape asked, as we passed by one of the radioactive pits. Who knows? Dysfunctional balefire bombs. Magical waste. Leaking stable tech reactors. I don't want to find out, I said. Nothing good was underground in Hoofington. Yet I spotted what I hoped was our destination, a cluster of buildings, one of which had several large dishes pointed up at the sky. While many were streaked with rust, I suspected they still worked. The persistent cloud bank surrounding them was another strong indication of something Pegasus-related. Then there was a whoosh overhead, and two Verdi bucks passed above us, stirring the air, and exposing us. Fortunately, the two vehicles seemed to have bigger things to worry about at the moment, as they rushed towards the structure with the large dishes. Is it just me, or does it feel like something is going on? I asked, as the clouds closed in once more. Carefully, we picked our way forward. All it would take was one perceptive hellhound, or one EFS, and we'd be given away. Then we found the dead zebras and hellhounds, the bodies only a few days old, scattered across the broken ground. Dozens of striped corpses lay among about the dead canines. It had taken headshots from skilled snipers to drop the beasts. From the ashes strewn about, I could only imagine how many had actually been killed. Still, the presence of the zebras baffled me. What were they doing here? Was this another thing, like Yellow River, or something else? It was a hell of a coincidence. Blackjack, Glory said, as she knelt by a severed zebra head. A hellhound claw had ripped the side of the face clean off and revealed the metal beneath. Not a zebra, a cyber zebra. I stared in shock as I spotted more in the wreckage. Up ahead there were sounds of gunshots, the zap of energy weapons, and hellhound roars. What the heck is happening? Scotched Ape asked, standing on my back, and shielding her eyes, as if that would allow her to peer through the mist. We need to get higher, I said, looking around the rooftops. One of the buildings next to the structure with the three large dishes had a wooden scaffold lashed to the side. It creaked beneath my hooves but held my weight. We made it up to the third story. Clearly this rooftop was some kind of camp. There were glyph-marked ammo crates half-concealed underneath canvas sheets. The center of the building had long ago collapsed and lay as a heap on the first floor, leaving the roof as a balcony around a hole. Boo hung back, looking scared. I slowly moved to the edge of the building, where some pony had left a pair of binoculars. Peering through them at the buildings next door, I spotted two that were surrounded by a barricade of rubble. Hellhounds, looking haggard and exhausted even for clawed monsters, seemed to be battling dozens, perhaps hundreds of zebras. The swamp of striped fighters were slowly wearing down the beasts. From atop the buildings, Pegasi in black power armor darted out of cover to strafe the striped attackers, and then returned to cover before deadly sniper fire could drop them. I saw the two Verdi bucks landing, on the far side of the dished building. Then I was shot in the back. The bullet smashed hard against the base of my neck, sparking off the reinforcement along my spine. Funny, something about the gunshot seemed awfully familiar. I whirled to look for the shooter, as my friend stood for what little cover there was. What I saw were ghostly blurs in the mist on the far side of the hole. Glory and Sunset immediately started spraying with their energy weapons, while Scotch Ape rolled off my back, to take cover next to Boo. I raced around the hole, gritting my teeth as the shots thudded into me, all blows that hurt but none that would down me outright. I fired ahead of me with vigilance as I closed the gap between me and the nearest assailant. Blood dripped from the flickering air as I dove at the cloaked zebra. My hooves, however, flailed at nothing as my attacker leapt out of reach at the last second. I laid there, sprawled on the ground, and felt two hooves land on my spine, and then a rifle press against the back of my skull. The stealth cloak had fallen open, and I magically jerked the rifle barrel to the side, the round biting a deep hole in the crumbled concrete. As I struggled to keep the barrel off my skull, I glanced over at my friends. A grenade reduced two blurs into bloody heaps. Glory and Sunset fired red and green bolts of energy at the attackers. One zebra raced at Boo and Scotch Tape along the edge of the building, as if were as wide as a road. Her cloak flew free, revealing a triumphantly grinning mare as she leapt into the air and launched a devastating kick at the white mare. For a moment, I was absolutely certain both were going to die, and then the zebra's snapping cape suddenly whipped across her face, blinding her and causing her hoof strike to miss by inches. To the astonishment of both the zebra and myself, her leg punched completely through the crumbly roof. The mare struggled to free herself until Scotch Ape rose above her and bashed her skull with the pipe wrench, knocking her out. Okay, I'd take it and ponder some time I wasn't fighting for my life. Knowing my friends weren't going to die in the next few seconds, I focused on my own attacker. The shooter swore in zebra and with even more force tore the rifle's barrel from my magical grasp. I rolled, the shooter jumping once more to avoid falling, as I looked up. The barrel filled one eye socket as I stared up into the shocked face of my adversary. Phew. Lancer swore. How? What oath did I swear to be cursed enough to have you show up now? Back off. Glory shouted as she pointed her Gatling beam gun at him, hovering over the hole. Lancer pressed his forehoof to the trigger. A sharp sneeze might blow my head off. Don't. I swear, I should have killed you when we first met in that school, the stallion muttered as he looked down at me. We seem to be at an impasse. A parley seems to be in order. Forget it, Scotch Ape shouted as she brandished her wrench. The alternative is I die, and take the cursed one with me, he countered sharply, not taking his blue eyes off mine. We might be able to kill him if the magic disintegrated him faster than he could move, but anything else would likely have him kill me in his death throes. Fine, I said, looking at the others. Put your weapons away. Remember Brimstone's Fall. For an instant I thought he was going to shoot me anyway. Then he pulled the batwing lift rifle from my face and stepped off me. "You have impeccable timing, maiden. What's going on here?" I asked, as I rose to my hooves, not taking my eyes off the zebra. More were emerging from the lower floors. Over a dozen were moving into position below us to make sure that, if the fighting started, we'd be in a tight pinch. "Probably has plan." I looked at him. "Maybe we can help." The question drew shock from every pony except P-21. "No. You're a Tempest in metal and pony flesh." "I'll not," Lancer began. Then one of the other zebras asked something, and it made him grimace. "No. We don't need their help. We'll reclaim what is ours without." Another sharp question from another zebra stallion, and he snapped back. For several minutes, a trio argued with Lancer. The sniper looked more and more anguished, his mane bristling progressively before he snapped. "Fine." He rubbed the bridge of his nose. "We are here to take back something stolen from us. What is your business here?" I glanced at P-21, then said, "We're here to free the hellhounds from the enclave control." Lancer closed his eyes, taking a deep breath. "Of course. Only you could want that." He looked at me once more. "We've been struggling to breach their defenses. Every hour they bring in those machines and fly out with more of our property." "I saw the cyber zebras," I said with a nod of my head, and the stallion grimaced. "Yes, the brute of Kyotl. They are formidable, and from his skull, not appreciated. Unfortunately, they are not wearing down the enclave defenses quickly enough." "Any other ways in?" "There are claw dug tunnels, but they are suicide. We have an underground passage secured, but we have been unable to breach the armor door or hack the terminal." "You cursed my finest tech specialist," he said sourly, a hoof stroking the trigger of his gun, "so we have been unable to proceed." I looked at P-21, and he gave a sure nod. "One last question," I tilted my head towards the Verde Bucks. "What are they taking out of here?" "Property. Our property. Taken long ago," he replied sharply. From the press of his lips, I suspected that that was all I'd get out of him. "Guess we'll have to get inside to find out." "Once we do," I trailed off, arcing a brow. He took a deep breath. "If you can break the Pegasi control over the beasts, we will be able to drive them off. I doubt they will fight for the enclave of their own volition. We will then reclaim what is ours." "Fair enough. And you let us out of here," I added. "Deal." He shuddered. "I should have killed you when we first met. You've been nothing but misfortune for me since." Finally, though, he gave a little nod. "Now, show us to that door," I said with a grin. No wonder the hellhounds carved their own tunnels. This door was made to withstand a balefire blast. Northeast Equestria satellite tracking was stenciled over the front. Claw swipes had scoured the reinforced steel, but not breached it. P-21 worked a terminal set in the wall with a thoughtful, methodical demeanor that would have had me climbing the walls in frustration. Lancer hadn't offered to accompany us, and I wouldn't have let him. Instead, a half dozen zebras in black combat barding stood silently at the ready. These were the brute of Coyotl. They didn't laugh, talk, glare at me, or do much more than follow. Familiar red lights gleamed in their eyes, but that was the only hint that they'd been augmented. Half wore battle saddles with Mark's pony carbines, while the other half wore power hooves. There was something vaguely unzebra-like about their armor and weaponry. They wouldn't go past this point. They were here to stop any hellhounds on the far side from rushing out. Oh, what joy to be caught in the crossfire. "Any luck?" I asked P-21. "I'm trying to access a super secure facility. The password is 13 characters long. It's not exactly easy to figure out." He typed some more on the terminal, scowling, as if it had given him a personal insult. "Blackjack, what's wrong with them?" Scotch Ape asked from where she sat with Boo. The fillies stared at the armored zebras warily. "They don't talk. They don't even move." "I don't know," I admitted. "They were used 200 years ago during the war. I remembered seeing them in Shoja's memory. Maybe they're just really focused." At the moment, I had way too much on my plate to take on new mysteries. That's way more than just focus, Glory said with a frown. I'd love to do a physical exam. Take one to Rover and compare their augmentation to yours. It'd be fascinating to see if there's any commonality in designs. Yeah. Lancer's not going to let that happen, P21 said from the terminal, then glanced at me with a frown of concern. You do know he's going to betray us. He's shot me multiple times in the back, and I haven't died yet, I said calmly. Must be really frustrating for him. Worse, given that the remnant thinks I'm the maiden of the stars. Scotch Ape cocked her head in confusion, and I sighed. Basically, I'm the zebra devil destined to bring chaos and destruction to the world. Oh. The filly smirked, but I could see the thought process work through her head as her smile disappeared. Oh, I'm not the maiden of anything. I'm not even a maiden. There's certain criteria a mare has to meet in order to be considered a maiden, and I blew that when I was your age, I snapped, making Boo shrink back. Sighing, I added in softer tones, I don't want to destroy anything, Scotch. I didn't say you did, Blackjack. It's just, look at all the things you've done, she said with a tap of her hooves. I know it's not true, P21 Hideki, and there was a solid clunk, and the sounds of working machinery from the door. There it is. Constellation, he said, as the door slowly swung open. Its thickness was more than the length of my foreleg. Beyond was a hallway with an icon of four stars on the wall over the acronym NEST. Let's hurry. Now that this door is open, I give Lancer 5 minutes before he storms through here. As quietly as we could, we move deeper into the facility. Given the reinforcement all around it, it was clear this place had been designed to withstand mega spells. There also weren't any signs of looting or pillaging, which made me wonder if any pony had entered here till recently. P21 and Boo were in the lead, the white mare as cautious as P21 as she moved forward. Sunset and I, with our metal hoofs, hung back. The red bars didn't give me much encouragement, but 3 times we evaded Hellhound and Begazi patrollers, once by all of us hiding in large empty crates scattered along the halls. The 4th encounter, both Glory and Sunset placed exceptionally lucky shots that simultaneously vaporized 2 Hellhound guards, before either of them could get a roar off. Scotch Ape swept the dust into a nearby garbage bin. My paranoia began to nibble at me. It shouldn't be this easy. With the FS and the Hellhound senses, we should have run into far more trouble. Was this some sort of setup? Blackjack, Glory said, as she examined one of the many crates with a label, Destination, Shadow Bolt Tower. Contents, Scrap Metal 14/25 Number 32. Star. This is a Volunteer Corps label. This sure isn't a Volunteer Corps operation, I said, as I slid the silver sword along the top, cutting through the screws holding the lid in place. We pushed it up and revealed a large, carefully disassembled piece of machinery. And that isn't scrap metal. Glory thumped her hoof against the crate, gritting her teeth. We always wondered why Intelligence stopped blocking the VC program. They've been using us to smuggle things to the tower. I'm sorry, I said, as I stroked her blue wings with a hoof. I'm not. Come on. Now I have my own payback to give these jerks, she said, as she continued down the hall. We soon found the nerve center of operations, emerging on a terminal line balcony walkway overlooking a buzz-in command center with rows of even more terminals. The NEST control room had at least 2 dozen power-armored Begazi. Another 2 dozen technicians tapping away at terminals or talking over schematics, and I lost count of the Hellhounds. Once again, though, we'd gotten lucky. There was only 1 power-armored Pegasus guarding the balcony. When she trotted close, Sunset and I reached out, grabbed her by her tail, and jerked her through the doorway. 1 sharp blow later, the guard was unconscious, and we moved out on the balcony. Which one do you think is controlling the Hellhounds? I asked, as I peeked down at all the terminals. None of them. Those are terminals. The mainframe is probably even more reinforced, and this place, Scotch Tape said, as she peeked down, rubbing her chin. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? P21 whispered to his daughter. That if we can't get to the mainframe, or the broadcast equipment, we can blow the cables connecting the two? Scotch replied, surprising the stallion. Actually, I was thinking of trying to find this place's reactor and blowing it up, he said with a sheepish grin. Overkill, Dad. The olive filly looked down at the floor. If I were designing this place, I'd drop the cables through the floor to mainframes, below and run the broadcast cabling up an armored central trunk. Which I think is right there. She gestured at a long square conduit running along the wall from floor to ceiling, passing right by the edge of the balcony. The problem is I have no idea how we'd carve our way in without every pony seeing us. Then a klaxon sounded, and at the alarm both hellhounds and enclave soldiers drained from the room, leaving the techs working more frantically than before. I looked at every pony, feeling that sense of paranoia growing. Nothing ever went this well for me. We moved to the end of the balcony. The conduit was almost the size of a pony. My silver sword floated out, and I pushed with all my might, slowly carving a hole in the half-inch steel. Behind it was some sort of copper mesh. I floated both the cutout and the sword back to me while P-21 prepared some plastic explosives. Then I munched on the metal. Blackjack, there's probably an auxiliary channel. This place has to have redundancy, Scotchape said tersely, as she glanced down at the agitated Begazi technicians below. See if you can find it, and cut it. Right, I muttered, not having a clue of what it was I was looking for. Maybe a conduit with some sort of label saying, backup cables, please don't cut, on it. I moved back along the balcony with Buffalo-wing close behind me. Some of the terminals had burned out over time, but others still flashed their obscure data and messages. I wondered just what they meant, but really, all the Master, Eston 37 C73% and CBG1 connection lost meant nothing to me. EC1101 acknowledgement required. I paused, and went back to the unassuming terminal with the tiny command up near the top of the screen. No, I glanced back at Boo, then at the terminal screen. My things are going too smooth, paranoia tripled. I pressed the Enter key, not sure what would happen. The screen flashed, and more text appeared. LNR PLC to nest. Off. 331-H762-RD997 Luna. EC1101 activity detected. LNR PLC acknowledgement request 9,999,881/10,000,000. EC1101 acknowledgement required. Project Horizons protocol pending. I stared at the screen, but no matter what I typed, the same data scrolled. Dawn had said there was a fuse lit once EC1101 was out of stable 99. This LNR PLC place was sending requests out to whoever could receive them, not realizing that Equestria had been destroyed. So what happened when it got to 10 million? I suspected that whatever the LNR PLC was, that was where Horizons was too. Still, another dead end. I had no way of knowing how to acknowledge the request. Did I have to use my broadcaster? Transfer EC1101 into the terminal. How did I do that? Did the terminal even work? I sighed and looked at Boo. Another hint. Sometimes I think my life is just a string of hints I don't QUI. Behind the pale mare was a row of 5 metal pipes with Oxford cast stenciled on them. And really freaky coincidences, too. Boo blinked her pale eyes and cocked her head with a happy smile. I made 2 slices with the sword, cutting 5 discs out of the pipes and sending wire chaff all over the floor. If I set off an alarm, it couldn't be heard over the one already sounding. I trotted back to Scotchtape, with a grin, cut the backups. You did. Scotchtape said in shock, then quickly smiled. I mean, good job. Thanks, I replied dryly, then looked at P-21. Bomb ready. He held up several bricks of explosive tape to a radio detonator. I floated it over and into the hole. There was a soft thud as it fell down a little ways, before getting hung up on something. Okay, and I accessed my broadcaster. I'd done this once by accident, but this time it should work. This is security to all enclave personnel, I said calmly. In 5 minutes, I'm going to free the hellhounds you've enslaved here. You can use that time trying to stop me, or you can clear out. I paused, almost knowing for certain that he had to be listening. Light hooves. Do you know what I can do? Remember Mindy. Get your people out of here. From the shouts below, I guess that my message had been received. I could only hope that they'd follow my advice. If they didn't, well, I'd given warning. Let's go. Quick, I said, wanting to get out of here before they found us. Given that all those guards and hellhounds had probably headed towards the door we'd entered through, we needed to find another way out. As it was, all I could do was move through the halls as quickly as I could. Fortunately, there weren't many red bars this way. Just a shimmering magic field. The blue wall stretched across the entire hallway we'd started down. I tapped it with a hoof, but it was solid as rock. My eyes checked the walls for a terminal to deactivate it, but there was nothing there except for a stenciling of a rainbow lightning bolt on the wall. Let me try, Glory said, as she stepped up to the field and touched it with the wing. The feather passed right through like it was water. She passed right through, and once she was on the far side, the magic field dropped, leaving a ring of deactivated gems. Well, it worked. Let's go. From her flustered appearance, she clearly didn't want to talk about it. The hallway kept going up and down, and I had no idea if we were above the ground or beneath it when we emerged in an office overlooking a large warehouse space. A large section of the warehouse's roof had been torn off, revealing the open sky. On the office's wall I saw a map, pictures of Pegasi wearing strange blue and yellow uniforms, photographs of the Rainbow Main Flyer sitting on a rock with other ponies, and grinning while behind them a colossal factory burned. Another showed Upper Stem, a third the building of one of the MASEBS towers. This was Rainbow Dash's office. Or one of them, Glory breathed as she walked slowly around the space. I always thought the Ministry of Awesome was the Ministry of Do-Nothing, Sunset said as she followed Glory. Lots of ponies thought so. Rainbow Dash wanted to give that impression, Glory replied as she looked at the terminal. Plenty of folks wrote her off as the dumb athlete. But she knew how to organize weather teams and be a leader. Till she abandoned her people. Besides, we don't really know that this was Rainbow Dash's office, Sunset said as she looked around. It seems pretty dumpy for a ministry mayor. And that was true. There were empty Sparkle Cola and Buckweiser bottles on the desk and empty potato chip bags in the trash. Definitely not a place a ministry mayor kept to impress others. This was a working space. I had no difficulty imagining Rainbow Dash in here coming up with new plans and schemes with her confederates. But there was one surefire way to know that this was Rainbow Dash's office. It lay right beside a photograph of six young ministry mayoress in ragged and torn dresses with a dapper young dragon standing beside them, a mouth scrawled note read, "Best night ever." In the upper corner, it was a small figurine of a purple unicorn smiling brightly back at me, clean despite the dust that covered everything else. I lifted the twilight figurine and turned it over to read the inscription. Be smart. The pony gang was complete. Folks, you might want to look at this, P21 said, as he looked out the window, down into the warehouse. Holding the figurine, I tried it next to him and looked myself. The cavernous space held racks and racks filled with familiar, long, tapered shapes. Of course, these weren't ablaze with blue fire. Missiles. Zebra missiles. Dozens of them. Perhaps hundreds. In the center of the building, a sort of workshop had been set up where the large missiles were being disassembled, packed into the VC crates, and loaded into two vertibukes. Suddenly, it all clicked into place. Lightwaves had his delivery system, targeting talismans to guide them, and Plague to load them with. He really did have a weapon to kill thousands, potentially tens of thousands. We've got to, I said, as I turned towards Glory and Sunset, and then I froze, as I turned to see only empty space beside me. I looked around in confusion, then spotted the door swinging closed on the side of the office. Roof access. Of course a Pegasus would have access to the outside from her office. I ran as swiftly as I could for the door, and spotted stairs going up through another ring of deactivated shield gems. I scrambled up the stairs and slammed the door open as I emerged onto the roof. Glory lay unconscious at Sunset's hooves as her glistening stinger pried and ripped the blue mare's Gatling beam gun off her and tossed the wrecked weapon over the edge of the building. The mare looked at me as I emerged, and the stinger at the end of her tail popped off. Sunset plunged her tail stub into a storage compartment on her side, and withdrew it with a new tip, this one crackling with arcane lightning. I raced at the Pegasus as she crouched to pick up Glory. No. I screamed as I threw my gun and slipped into SATS, but Glory was now blocking my best targets. Instead, I aimed for Sunset's wing, triggering the targeting spell as I charged. The shot spit into the armor covering, but didn't ground her. The power-armored Pegasus launched herself into the air, carrying my love with her. No. Glory. I screamed at the skies, helpless to follow. Then there was a flash in front of Sunset, and four Alicorn hooves slammed into the her. She coiled her tail around Glory as they tumbled back to the rooftop. You shall not pass. Lacuni thundered, her eyes blazing. Sunset flipped and landed atop the roof, facing me and holding Glory as a shield. The crackling blade came around, pressed at Glory's throat. Get back. I'm taking her with me. Sunset shouted at me. If she can get through those shields, she's Rainbow Dash enough for us. Back. They'll want her alive, but I'd be happy to rip out her throat and take a tissue sample instead. Twister and Boomer flew in, and I swapped to my carbine. Sunset. What the hey do you think you're doing? Twister shouted as she flew towards us from the north with Boomer close behind. This wasn't the plan. Plan. There was a plan. I screamed as I kept my eyes locked on Sunset. The Thunderheaders have missiles. Cruise missiles. If we can get into the SPP, then we can smack them right out of the air. Sunset shouted. We have orders to retrieve the Rainbow Dash copy. She can breach barriers, Twister. That's all the proof we need. Take out that Alicorn, and we can get out of here. But Twister and Boomer weren't firing just yet. What are you waiting for? Sunset blurted. We have our orders. Glory's told me the Enclave aren't a bunch of selfish assholes. I shouted back, wondering if I could take the shot. A 3-round armor-piercing burst. Maybe. We have our orders. Sunset yelled. I've saved your life, Twister. Remember Yellow River? I asked, as I lined up my shot. Sunset was backing towards the edge of the roof. Behind us, I heard some low hellhound snarls. Clearly our yelling and gunshots were attracting attention. What's your call, Sergeant? Boomer asked, looking from Sunset to Lacuna. Twister looked down at Sunset. Now I know you want to do what's right, Sunset. I do too. Yes, we have orders. It's our job to carry them out, but not like this. Let Morning Glory go. I felt a deep gush of appreciation for the mayor for using Glory's real name. Hellhounds climbed over the far edge of the roof and began to race towards us, their dragging claws shrieking on the metal surface. In a moment it became clear that they were aiming just for myself and P-21, apparently Pegasi were off their menu, while under the helmet's influence. Traitor. Sunset screamed as she backed towards the edge. P-21. Fire. I shouted. P-21's hoof smacked the detonator in his tail. From the tall building with the dishes came the faint sound of a crumpled explosion. The hellhound stopped short of us, clutching their heads with screams. Then their claws curled in and crushed the helmets with a shrieking of metal. They tore the helmets off. No, Sunset murmured as she released Glory and turned to leap off the building. Two hellhounds who had been about to tear me to pieces instead turned and leapt after her. Their claws sank through her armor, and Sunset screamed as she was borne to the ground, claws ripping her armor and flesh to pieces. Two more hellhounds immediately began blasting into the air, forcing Twister and Boomer and Lacuna to evade their red blasts. Other hellhounds closed in to finish every pony not in power armor off. Nar sent me. I yelled as two leapt upon me. One grabbed my throat and pulled back his hand to rip my head off in one swing. Nar sent me to free you. The hand paused. Fierce, cunning eyes stared into mine with a palpable hatred. Then the hand around my neck released. "Leave," was all the hellhounds said. Then, with a howl, the hellhounds left the rooftop. With a whoosh, the vertibix lifted out of the hole in the roof and made for the skies. One had a hellhound clinging to its side and struggling to rip its way to the Pegasi flyers. I checked to make sure Lori was okay. She was unconscious, but alive. I didn't look at Twister and Boomer, as I said, "You should get out of here too. Tell your superiors that Lightwave's plans on using missiles to deliver his bioweapon." "Blackjack," Twister began. "What about Glory?" "That's up to you," I said quietly. Rainbow Dash was Twilight's loyalist friend. Twilight always knew that Rainbow Dash would do what was right, eventually. "I guess it's up to you to decide who your loyalty is to." I slipped the Twilight figurine into the saddlebag that held the others. The two looked at each other, and then took off, flying southwest. I could only assume they'd find their way. I cradled Glory as I looked to Lacune. "Take us out of here." 15 minutes later, we were reunited with Diaz and Rampage, and riding the tank away from the base. Rampage had a novel counter to the anesthetic that had incapacitated Glory. The shot of Dash that Rampage administered had Glory awake and practically bouncing on her hooves. "Right. Rematch. Next time I'm going to take them all down. 10 seconds flat," she said, as she punched the air with her hooves, snorting. "I like this Glory. She's goofy," Scotch giggled. "Wait till the Dash wears off," I countered, hoping we wouldn't have another addiction to worry about when she crashed. I then filled Rampage in on everything that happened while we were gone. The striped mare listened to the story of our infiltration, muttering sourly, "Well, you have all the luck. In. Out. Killed a traitor. Freed a bunch of bloodthirsty monsters. I should have gone with you. We've just been leading hellhounds around in circles," Diaz rumbled his engine in reply. "Yeah, well, I don't want to make a habit of it. Hope Rover's happy," I said, as I rubbed my throat. "Hellhounds and sand dogs aren't even close to each other. I'll take cyber dogs over radioactive hounds any time." "Blackjack," P-21 called out, pointing into the still lingering mist. I looked up and spotted the blue bars, lots of blue bars. Dozens. Hundreds maybe. They walked out of the fog in perfect unison. Every step was simultaneous and deliberate. I felt a frisson at the black-armored, faceless horde of zebra. The brood of Coyotl were a silent, ominous lot. Glory popped into the air. "Let me at him. I'll take them all down." I grabbed her tail with my magic and gave a firm yank to plant her butt back on the tank. "Hey. What do you think you're doing?" she protested. "Hush and let the non-medicated ponies talk," I said as I looked for him. "Lancer," I called out. "Maiden," he replied as the zebras parted. "Well, is this the point of your sudden yet inevitable betrayal?" I asked dryly. "Because while you got an army, I got a tank." "Maiden, didn't I tell you that your death wouldn't be at my hooves? Your demise has been decreed to be carried out by Legate Vitiosus himself. I would not kill you, even if I had the opportunity," Lancer said with a calm smile, as he stood out in front of us. I didn't point out how willing he'd been to threaten to kill me when he'd had guns pointed at him. So, I frowned, as I watched the black-armored zebras slowly back away, as one. Behind them were other zebras, the snipers and hoof fighters I was more familiar with. They weren't moving, as if to simply let us leave, however. One red bar appeared on my EFS. Oh no, a gap appeared ahead of us, and a lone figure slowly advanced through the mist. The zebra stallion advancing moved with a slow gait that conveyed terrible power and grace all at once. His head was concealed by a dragon skull carved with strange glyphs across the bone. His powerful body bore innumerable scars across its surface, including a horrible Y-shaped injury across his chest. More carved dragon bone armor formed spikes at his hips and flank, strapped in place. His weapon was a simple double-pointed spear with dragon fangs tipping both ends. Lancer trotted around the edge of the circle of zebras to join the Legate, kneeling beside him. "Legate Vitiosus, may I present for you the Maiden of the Stars, Blackjack. He then smiled at me and said, "Maiden, be honored. This is the legate of the fallen Caesar's will. The stallion that exercises the last remnant of the imperial army." "Enough, my lancer," the legate said in low, deep voice. "This is not the time or place I wished for this battle. I hope to break the maiden upon the smoldering, melted remains of their cursed city. You have forced this confrontation prematurely, my lancer." Lancer stared, as if struck. "F. Legate. It may be early, but she is here. You are here. Let the champion of the stars be felt by your hoof." He paused, then added, "I know we were unable to retrieve the talisman of the eternal warrior. Indeed, you have failed to do a great many things. You were unable to slay my treacherous mate, you failed to retrieve the bones of the stars, and the talisman escaped you. Now you force this premature confrontation," the legate boomed, as he stared at me atop dais. "At times I think your certainty that she is the maiden is simply a way to cover your own failings." "I'm not," I replied, as I looked down at him. "I don't have an argument with you, legate. We simply want to go." "You seek to save the people of this cursed city?" he asked, and I nodded. "Then we are enemies. It is my solemn duty since I assume command of the remnant to execute the Caesar's final orders, and destroy this vile place, and all who live here." He took a few steps forward. "It appears that, maiden or no, we are at an impasse. It is unfortunate that I cannot break you, when you are at the peak of your destiny, shucks. Too bad for me, then." I sighed, and sat down on the turret top. "South. Is this something that's just between me and you, or can my friends help?" He just smiled, and the ring spread out even more. "It is of no difference to me." Lancer quickly backed away from the legate. "Thanks." I tapped the turret sharply. Dia's left cannon roared, and blasted a shell right at the zebra. With a speed I could not imagine, his forehooves clamped up and grabbed the projectile between them. The round sent him sliding backwards as sparks flew from around his four legs, but when he came to a stop, the smoking shell rested between them. It exploded a second later, making him disappear in a cloud of smoke and shrapnel. Yet that red bar remained. "No way," I murmured, as he trotted forward once more, as high merely sooty. His smile beneath those glyph-etched teeth didn't waver in the slightest. "My turn." He crouched, and, with a rumble, the earth beneath him exploded and launched him into the air. He twisted and plunged like a meteor. Dias's treads tore at the ground, backing up furiously as the legate impacted just feet from the front of the war machine. He plunged his forehooves into the earth, and the ground beneath Dias erupted in jagged spikes of stone, pushing the tank up and sending all of us spilling from the turret. "Hee-ya!" Glory streaked around, slamming all four hoofs into him in a kick that would have sent me flying halfway to Manhattan. This time, the legate didn't even step back. Glory crumpled against him as if she'd hit a mountain. "Who? I'm gonna beat you." The glyphs on his dragon bone glowed a deep red, as he raised his four hooves for a crushing stomp. A purple glow surrounded the Pegasus and pulled her away into the air as the hooves came down with another explosion of stone. Lacune flew above him, holding the limp form of Glory beside her inside her shield. The legate swept the double-ended spear up towards the sky. For a moment nothing happened, and then the skies above illuminated in a flashing bolt that shot down to meet the end of his spear and passed horribly close to Lacune and Glory. Even the near miss had almost knocked her out of the sky. Wait! Where was Rampage? Then a red and white striped mare plummeted down from the sky, her striking rear hoof landing right in the middle of his back. The dragon bone armor buckled as the power hoof discharged, then exploded in a blast of shrapnel and bone that sent the legate to his knees. With a roar of rage, he gave a massive heave, but she held fast and beat the back of his neck with her hooves. The blows were destroying the power hooves, but she didn't care, as she screamed in zebra. He thrust his spear into the sky again, and this time the lightning poured over him and the filly. She was sent flying, smashing into the side of Dias and collapsing limply at his side. "Great," I groaned, raising myself to my hooves behind Dias as the high-center tank struggled to free itself from the stone spikes. I turned to P-21 and snapped, "Get Buan scotch tape out of here. This guy laughs at explosives. Facing him, I drew my star metal sword, and rose to my hooves. As I approached, he calmly hopped out of the shell crater, the ground rumbling low, and menacingly beneath his hooves. So, do you no longer wish to involve your friends, maiden? I don't, I said, as I spread my legs in a fighting stance. Commendable, he said dryly, then looked at the blade. An interesting weapon. Forged from the bones of the stars. Truly a weapon befitting the maiden. But are you worthy to wield it? I guess we'll find out. I said, as I charged, bringing it slicing in a wicked cut to his throat. His hooves snapped the spear around in a spin, the lightning struck and crackling with power. The blow knocked the blade aside, and the spear whirled like a blurring disc of death. I seen Seikashi fight, but it was nothing, nothing, compared to this. All I could do was give ground, and keep my magic grip on the sword. I struggled to find some kind of opening I could exploit, but the legate moved with such speed, grace, and terrible power, that any approach was death. We moved around the stuck tank, as it roared, and struggled to free itself from the spikes. How? I blurted, as I looked at him. Zebras aren't supposed to do magic. Pony ignorance, the legate replied. I am champion of the Caesar's will, imbued by his authority with command of the earth, skies, and sea. Did you think my authority was simply metaphorical or figurative? Suddenly he stopped advancing and swept his spear upright. A terrible gust lifted me from my hooves and flung me into the air. I yelled and flailed my legs wildly as I crashed in a heap on the other side of him. Okay. Magic, invulnerable zebras were where I drew the line. I had to separate him from that weapon. I could levitate mine, but he had to hold his, or at least I hoped he had to. At this point, I was guessing at the rules of this fight. I pulled myself to my feet, glad he was taking his time. This wasn't a real fight to him, this was me on the bridge with Snide, only now I was the raider. I hopped on my pipbuck and tried to find a frequency Deus could pick up. I need him blinded for a moment, I said quietly, hoping the legate's ridiculous set of freaky zebra powers didn't include super hearing. Deus gunned his engines once. I hope that meant yes. Slowly I backed around the side of the tank. I grow bored of this, he drawled. If all you will do is run, now. I shouted, and one of Deus's machine guns opened up, spraying bullets into the dragon's gulp-covered face. Roaring in rage, he lifted his hooves and tried to block the stream of lead smashing into him. Again, the bullets didn't do much damage, but they did distract him from me, which allowed me to duck behind him, using him as an invulnerable shield from the bullets, as I bit down on the handle of the sword and swung with all the strength and weight my body could manage. I felt the faintest resistance on the blade as it pushed dragon bone and zebra flesh apart. With a cry, I felt it exit out below his throat. Dia stopped firing, as I saw a ring of crimson spray out around my cut, blood spurting out the legate's mouth. Any second now his head was coming off and that would be that. Any second, then the blood reversed itself and retracted into the wound. Before my eyes, the injury healed itself, and left only the faintest scar, to give any indication he'd been injured at all. Oh, come on. I shouted, as I magically waved the sword at him. I know you don't have the Phoenix Talisman, so stop cheating already. He turned slowly towards me with that sure smile. You think I needed it? No. I was merely curious how such a thing came to be, and wished to keep it out of your hooves. An immortal, regenerating maiden of the stars would have been annoying. He reached up and rubbed his neck. Still, it is commendable that you struck what would otherwise have been a killing blow. Even the dragon I slew to craft this armor did not manage such. Suddenly an immense force began to press on me, as if the air suddenly weighed 1,000 pounds. Slowly, I fell to my knees, then onto my side. I tried a few more swings with the sword, but he simply batted the weapon away with a swipe of his spear. Guess I'm not the maiden after all, I gasped, as he put his forehoof on the side of my head. No, he said slowly, staring down at me. You are certainly the maiden. But you are not yet, as you should be. You have a destiny to fulfill. Only then can I fulfill mine, and break you, as you deserve. Legate, no, Lancer said, as he slowly approached us. No, kill her. You must kill her now, father. Don't allow her to survive a moment longer. You forget yourself, my lancer, the legate rumbled again. The maiden will die, and her death will be the final fall of this city and this land. But not now. Not as this pathetic wretch. I'm not destined for anything. I shouted as I struggled beneath his hoof. Oh yes, you are. You always have been. You are the instrument of chaos and destruction. Death follows in your wake. Misery pursues you like hunting hounds. All who love you suffer. All who hate you die. But you have yet to embrace your destiny. When you accept it, when you revel in the slaughter you are capable of, then, and only then, will you be worthy of the death I will grant you. He took his hoof off my head. You see, Black Jack, you are the villain. The monster. Once you accept that fundamental truth, you can be slain. I am not a monster. I shouted as I struggled against the crushing pressure. I even managed to rise to my hooves a little. I'm not. An ocean of blood says otherwise, the legate replied coldly, as he turned away. You are fate's plaything, as are we all. No. Lancer shouted, grabbing his rifle and pointing it at my head. The maiden must die. Only then will we be, then he screamed as the spear flicked almost casually up along his face. In a gout of blood, one of Lancer's eyes disappeared and his rifle fell into two pieces. The stallion fell back, pressing a hoof to the bloody gash. F, father, he murmured in stunned silence. You will not force fate again. Go, he commanded, as he pointed aside with his spear. Trembling, Lancer rose on his hooves and staggered away. Then the legate gave a mirthless smile as he looked back at me. Yet another life you have destroyed, maiden. My lancer was right to fear you. Go forth, maiden. Embrace your destiny. Then I will give you the destruction you crave. Slowly, all the zebras moved back towards the base. When they departed, the air pressure on me relaxed, and the stone spike strapping dais crumbled to rubble. Slowly, I dragged myself upright. I'm not fate's toy. I'm not. I shouted after him. Then my butt hit the ground as I fought the tears of frustration and humiliation. I was alive right now, because I was too small a fish, he'd thrown me back till I was a more fitting adversary to defeat. Like we were characters in some stupid story. The maiden of the stars shall bring ruin, I won't, I'm not. Security saves ponies. She does better. She does. I screwed up my face and yelled after him, I'm not an executioner. Tell that to 99. Or to 40 foals. Or 5 Begazi. Or Crunchy Carrots. Or Priest. Or Clink, whispered an honest part of myself. Later, when Rampage and Glory were awake and every pony was on the mend, I sat cross-legged on top of the ass. P-21 slowly climbed up beside me. The tiny statuette of Twilight Sparkle rested in my lap. Fate. How seductive it was. Not my fault, not my responsibility, bad things, good things, you could say it was all fated to be. Had Twilight been fated to end up trapped in a monstrous goddess? Pinkie Pie fated to become a drug-addicted pariah. Some to kill Big Macintosh. Maybe there was some alternate history, where the war never happened. Where fate was kinder and gentler than it was today. I looked down into Twilight's happy, smiling face. Fate was an easy answer when you looked at the strand of history. All those little causes and effects leading to now. Sometimes miraculous, sometimes monstrous, am I really the maiden of the stars? How is Glory? I asked quietly as I looked into Twilight's eyes. Like she flew into a cliff while jacked up on Dash. She'll be fine, P-21 replied simply. How are you? I sighed and hugged the figurine to my chest. Different. Haven't been beaten like that in a while. Not pleasant to be reminded there's always a bigger fish. Hut? He asked with a cock of his head. Nothing. Just something Mom used to tell me, I said with a sigh. P-21, do you believe in fate? I believe in you. Does that count? He countered with a half smile. I gave him a nudge in response, and his smile widened as he looked at scotch tape. I don't know. I don't think so. I heard that ponies get QT marks that tell them their destiny. But considering mine was openly controlled, it always seemed pretty much bullshit to me. But then, I've never known what my QT mark was supposed to be. What if your destiny is something bad? What if it's to kill and hurt people? I asked. Then you ignore it, he said simply. Because if you accept what that bastard said about your destiny being ruin and death, then it'd be no different than me accepting the medical mares telling me that my destiny was to be a walking sperm bank, who should be dead right now. We decide our own destiny. Right, I said, as I looked up at the midnight clouds. Well then, I guess, if I'm going to decide it, I'd better start thinking of some way to get to Shadowbolt Tower. At his inquisitive look, I smiled. Lightwaves has a biological weapon that can kill countless Begazi. I need to get up there and stop it and make sure Thunderhead isn't destroyed as well. He looked at the sky and gave a little laugh. Oh, is that all? He shook his head. I don't suppose you know some pony with a flying machine, do you? He asked with a playful tone. I sat there a moment, looking down at the figurine and thinking, and then my lips curled in a small smile. Now that you mention it, footnote, maximum level reached. Quest book achieved, my little ponies, you have collected one of each of the 6 Ministry Mara statuettes. Stronger together than they are apart, they have granted you, +1 luck in addition to their normal benefits. Author's notes, I know that every chapter I thanked my editors, but I really would like everyone to know they worked their tails off getting this chapter out this month. I was almost certain that we'd have to push it back to March, April, May, so I just want everyone, and them, to know how special they are. Whether you like the finale or not, I really have to agree with one thing. There is absolutely nothing like true friends. In other news, I know that what happened with Sam may upset some folks. I apologize, but this is something else that's been in my head since coming up with the Marauders. I hope it doesn't cause too many problems. Next week I'm going to be at the Las Vegas, Vegas convention. Meeting the hideous Somber, I hope it's not too unpleasant for folks. I'd like to thank Devin Wade, Joel Kenny, and Hidden Pony for helping me pay for the trip. Just look for the terrified writer in a social situation. Also, just in case you like it, this is something I'm doing with Banzar, http://requiem-pony.tumblr.com/anyway. Thanks to Cut, as always, for starting this. Thanks to folks who enjoy reading this. Thanks to folks who comment and donate. And thanks for being a part of this community. Just, thank you, And hugs to Tori for Letty.